It is 9:03. I call to order Dallas City Council meeting Wednesday, August 24th, 2011, day before my birthday. I just realized that.
29?
Yes. Excuse me just a second here. I pulled something out there. I lost it. I'm dead. There we go. Good morning and welcome to today's City Council meeting. Leading some invocation is Reverend Thomas Kincaid of the Church of Incarnation. Reverend Kincaid grew up in Dallas and went to SMU, so we're great, man of the cloth. Grew up here, so Reverend Kincaid, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Pleasure to be back. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to those who love you a heavenly city. We pray for the city of Dallas that it might be a foretaste of that new Jerusalem where there is no more pain or war, but peace and joy in your presence. We pray also for those who govern and lead this city that they might be faithful in their work on your behalf. We ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Ms. Coop, to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have any speakers this morning for open microphones?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, you have three speakers. The first speaker is Kirsten James, followed by Roy Williams. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. When the timer turns to zero, please stop speaking and allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Kirsten Brant James, 10022 Robin Hill Lane in Lake Highlands, District 10. I'm here today as both a citizen and as executive director of Junior Players. I grew up in Dallas, in the city of Dallas, and I grew up in my own organization, Junior Players. And I'd like to recognize my colleague, Joanne St. Angelo, who's here. She is chair of our Arts Coalition, and I am vice president of the Arts Coalition. We know it's another tough budget year. We'd like to thank all of you for your leadership last year, for all of your work on the budget this year. As you know, 2 years ago, the arts services contracts were cut 30 to 35%. We know we were fearing a lot worse this year, but it is at a 10% cut right now. And we just urge you, if anything changes in that budget, to really take that into consideration, because those cuts will hurt some of the small to mid-sized groups the most, the groups who are just now gearing up to use the city performance hall. So even that little bit of money. And remember, for most of us, we're services. Our commodity is a service, that's people. For Junior Players, out of a $650,000 budget, we only get about $18,000 from OCA, but $550,000 of that budget, at least, are people, are fees paid to people. So it really does impact jobs and money going back into the city of economic development. And we also want to thank you, Mayor, for establishing the committee to look at those long-term options for funding. We thank you all for your leadership. Thanks to City Manager Mary Soom, too, for her work on the City Performance Hall in the last month. The transparency in the meetings have been wonderful, and we really appreciate that, Mrs. Soom. So I just want to remind you that arts are economic development, their jobs, and their free programs to youth and kids. Junior Players had over 53 summer theater camps this summer. At the end of the summer, one of our students from JEC Turner in Pleasant Grove, when asked what she liked about the camp, she said, "Freedom. You're never judged about your feelings, and you can express yourself." And that was a 14-year-old. And a parent from our camp at Hampton, Illinois, Branch in Oak Cliff, said, "This was a great program. My son was excited about camp every day. He would come home talking about it with excitement and look forward to the next day. More camps and longer camps would be great." And we can do that. It's all a matter, as I said, of funding. to pay the our teaching artists and for all of the arts organizations. We just heard you in these times. I know the hearing's this afternoon, but I have a board meeting today myself, so thank you for your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. James.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Roy Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and council members and all in the audience. Roy Williams, 5881 Preston View Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, District 11. I'm here today, Mr. Mayor, to appeal, number one, to you as the head of this body, that the chair of the redistricting commission has showed a bias towards the system or towards the Constitution. In her book, and I quote, Governance by Decree, Ms. Ruth T. Morgan. And I share some comments from what she has to say in this book. The main thesis of the book is that the Voting Rights Act of 1965 achieved its intended consequences of protecting individuals' rights to vote, but the Congress and the federal courts veered off course into an entangling net of contradiction when they attempted to advance the political standing of discrete groups, U.S. Department of Justice pre-clearance rule, and the federal courts have stepped over line, as she said, in preference to single-member districts as the remedy for unprecedented of statutory protection minority groups and has unintended and undesirable consequences. I think that is a bias for a person that's leading a process that will change the face and how services and goods are distributed in this city, and it's unfortunate. I respect her scholarship. She's a provost at SMU. I understand all that, but this is a different ball game, Mr. Mayor. And if you to have good relationships with the minority community, the minority community needs to know that we can trust the system that is putting forth these maps in which we feel that we don't have to give up one seat to achieve this. Mr. Mayor, we gave up in 2000, we gave up one district, which was District 6. Why do we have to give another district? Why the African-American community has to be one? I understand the numbers change. I understand that population shift, but more importantly, what the 1965 Voting Rights Act signed into law by LBJ states that the protected classes cannot be cracked or packed into districts that are unfavorable to them. And that's what this commission has done, Mr. Mayor. And my understanding after having been involved in Dallas politics for over 30 years is that if you haven't invested time and effort in protesting a unfair system by being a participant, you don't have a vested interest. And a lot of people that are participating in this process, Mr. Mayor, have no history of being involved in the struggle that those of us have struggled to bring about. So I appeal to this council that the African American community is not willing to give up a seat. We don't have to give up a seat. We gave already at the last party. And so we're not willing this time, and we'll go all the way to the Justice Department if that's where we have to go to get justice. And so I would hope under your leadership, Mr. Mayor, that we can diffuse any type of battle and any type of a squabbling that's going on about these districts, and I hope and pray that under your leadership we can achieve this. God bless you. Thank you. Peace be unto you.
And to you as well, Mr. Williams. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your next speaker is Jay Lorch. Jay Lorch, I'm fine, he's coming forward.
Good morning. My name is Jay Lorch, and I live at 11219 St. Jude in Dallas. I'm also a native. I want to speak to you on behalf of the Arts and the Office of Cultural Affairs. I am aware that when budget cutting time comes around, that maintenance, parks, and the arts usually get their funding cut first. I'm reasonably sure that none of you were on this city council when Boeing was looking at a new location, or a new headquarters city, because this happened 10 or 11 years ago. The list came down to Denver, Chicago, and Dallas. And Denver was the low man on the totem pole, and it was between Dallas and Chicago. There were several things about Dallas that were good. Obviously, DFW Airport with good weather, and I'm sure that they weren't here during the summer. The cost of living in general was less than Chicago, both as far as real estate and housing, and just general cost of living, lack of city taxes, lack of and city income tax. We also felt that we had a shoe-in because the CEO's wife lived in Plano. Be that as it may, the city of Chicago won out for several reasons. First of all, they found a building for sale that perfectly suited their needs. Second of all, they had a lake, which we don't have. We didn't have downtown living 10 or 11 years ago to speak of, and they were sharply critical of our arts facilities. Since that time, we've got a heck of a lot more downtown living. We've got buildings underway and already established. And the bottom line is that we now have cultural facilities, several museums, performing arts venues, and quite frankly, I don't want to lose out to Chicago or any other city when a Fortune 500 company wants to relocate their executive staff here. It's too many high-paying salaries, too much expensive real estate. Their support staff is certainly well-paid. And the bottom line is, now that we've got cultural facilities established and in the process of being built, I don't want maintenance to be cut on those. I want to show our best face when a large corporation comes shopping again. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Arch.
That concludes your speakers this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll move to the next item on the agenda, which is the approval of minutes. Do I have a motion? We've got a motion and second. Any discussion? Amendments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. We'll move to consent agenda. Madam Secretary, do you want to read the items and tell us what's pulled?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your consent agenda consists of items number 1 through 67. Item number 48 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Margolin. Agenda items 12, 27, 55, and 56 were deleted on the addendum. On your addendum consent agenda, you have items 1 through 5. So the items for your consideration this morning are items number 1 through 67 on your regular consent. On your addendum, it's 1 through 5, with the exception of item number 48, which has been pulled for individual consideration, and number 12, 27, 55, and 56, which have been deleted on the addendum.
Thank you. Ms. Rios, do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda? Mr. Drano, any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Move to the individual consent, individual consideration of the items.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 48. again was pulled by Councilmember Margolin. It's to authorize acquisition from American Fund U.S. Investments LP of approximately 282 square feet of land located near Mockingbird Lane and the Dart Light Rail for the Katy Trail Phase 6 project.
Thank you. First, we have a motion to approve item number 48. A second? Okay, any discussion? Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mayor. When I saw the agenda item was $399,000 for 282 square feet of land, I did a double take because that is pretty extraordinary. I came to understand that this was because we were taking three parking spaces at Mockingbird Station, and the cost of that land combined with the damages, in essence, to the shopping center came to this price. But what I would really like from staff is reassurance that this was absolutely the only way that this bridge could be built, requiring us to pay $400,000 for 282 square feet of land.
Yes, good morning. Because there is a dark tunnel...
Would you please make sure you introduce yourself for the folks that are...
Rick Galceran, Public Works Director. Because there is a dark tunnel that is running at Mockingbird, we ran multiple alignments and design scenarios, and this one was the one that took the least amount of space and the most cost-effective.
The most cost-effective?
Yes, ma'am.
And it absolutely had to be there.
There was no other, that was just the most reasonable or the most sensible, most cost-effective way to align this bridge and to design it this way.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Any other discussion? Questions? Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Hearing none, we've got a motion and a second on the floor to approve item number 48. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. Ms. Reyes?
Thank you. We proceed now with your item number 68, is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For your consideration, individual appointment nominated by Councilmember Alonzo to the MLK Junior Community Center Board is Geraldine McDaniels to fill the term beginning October 1, 2011 through September 30th, 2013.
Second. We've got a motion and a second. Any discussions, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 69 is authorize a 3-year master agreement for emergency and non-emergency lights, equipment, and parts, GT Distributors, Inc., in the amount of $1,220,000, Rissol Supply, Inc., in the amount of $631,500, Lone Star Products and Equipment, LLC, in the amount of $302,000, Defender Supply, LLC, in the amount of $89,000, Earl Owen Company, in the amount of $132,000, or $395,000, and Midway Auto Supply, Inc., in the amount of $263,000, or $0. This is a tie bid, Mr. Mayor. You will require to pull an envelope of the two.
The picked winner is Earl Owen Company, Group 5, $263,000. Total award amount, $395,000. With that as the winning bid, do I have a motion?
Second.
Any discussion? Debate? All in favor of this motion say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next item number 70, does require a record vote. Item number 70 is that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain to acquire a tract of land containing approximately 21,347,000 square feet of land located near the intersection of Interstate Highway 20 and South Beltline Road in City of Dallas, Block 8834, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
So moved. Second.
Together to record vote.
If you would please let me start the voting process.
Well, first of all, let's have discussions, okay? No, you don't want to, Mr. Kadane?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. On this item, are we saying we're going to, we have to force this, take this land, we're taking it by eminent domain? Is that correct?
Yeah. Would you answer?
I mean, we couldn't come to an agreement with the owner. I mean, are there problems with the land or anything like that?
Teresa, can you get more detail on that?
Yes, sir. This is one that we've made an offer, and we've not been able to come to a reasonable disposition of the property, so we will start the eminent domain proceedings. Typically, we certainly make every effort to come to an agreement prior to going all the way through condemnation court. We will continue to do that also, sir. But this is in the right-of-way for the Southwest transmission line. It's a 212 parcel line. It's very important to the city's future growth. So we do need all these properties.
We have to have it, correct?
We have to have it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kadane. Any other questions? Discussion? All in favor say aye. This is a record vote. Thank you.
If everyone, please, will go ahead and start voting. Go ahead and start voting now. So far, we have four individuals voting.
Do they know how to vote? You hit a little yes or no button up there. So has everybody voted? Show of hands of people that have voted.
Okay, if I may go
There's
ahead
more than four that have voted.
If I may go ahead and go through the item and then everybody can indicate their record vote.
Okay.
Okay.
We got some technical issues though.
Mayor Rawlings?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Medrano?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins? Councilmember Hoffo?
Yes.
Councilmember Griggs? Councilmember Carraway?
Yes.
Councilmember Hill?
Yes.
Councilmember Alonzo?
Yes.
Councilmember Davis?
Yes.
Councilmember Atkins? I'm sorry. Councilmember Kadane?
Yes.
Councilmember Allen?
Yes.
Councilmember Coop?
Yes.
Councilmember Grayson?
Yes.
Councilmember Margolin?
Yes.
And Councilmember Hunt is absent. One vote taken. Mr. Mayor, that gives you 14 votes in favor with one individual absent, one vote taken.
Thank you. Thank you. Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now with items number 71 and 72, which need to be considered collectively. Item number 71 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code with Priority Fulfillment Service, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of PFS Web, Inc., related to the relocation of its prime customer contact center to 1201 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202. Item number 72 is authorized an application to the Office of the Governor Economic Development and Tourism through the Economic Development Bank Nominating Priority Fulfillment Service, Inc., located at 1201 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202, to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act as amended Government Code Chapter 2303. This item does require two votes, Mr. Mayor. I believe there's a statement you'll read.
Thank you. In regarding to certification based on certain council rules, by making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination involvement beyond just reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of this case and be able to develop an opinion based on an examination of various factors and issues involved. I take this seriously. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Margolin. I understand her comment. Are you going to call for the motion first?
Yes, I am. We're on item number 72.
71 and 72.
71 and 72. Do we have a motion to approve?
Oh, thank you. Mr. Mayor, I wonder if we may hold these two items until Ms. Hunt is present.
Is Ms. Hunt coming, going to be here?
My friend was just going to be late.
Got it. Does anybody... Okay, let's hold these in abeyance until we get Ms. Hunt back. Okay, fair.
Thank you. Item number 73 is to authorize an economic development grant pursuant to the public-private partnership program to Gordon Dairy Company related to the relocation of its shared services and support functions to Dallas. Mayor Rawlings did read a statement into the record. That statement also applies to item number 73.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 74 is authorize an economic development loan agreement pursuant to the public-private partnership program with 16th Avenue Holdings, LLC, related to the improvements to certain property located within the city of Dallas. This item again requires 2 seconds. The statement that the mayor previously read into the record does apply to this item.
Do we have a motion?
Motion to delay.
Second.
A motion and a second to delay. Any discussion? Okay. Is it Ms. Grayson, you want to speak?
Mr. Griggs made the motion to delay, so...
I just was looking at here. You're
faster to the button than me.
Okay, Mr. Griggs? Yes, okay, Mr. Griggs.
There are just some unanswered questions. We would just like another couple weeks to review with staff to go over this. This is in District 3. Thank you.
Okay. The next agenda item meeting. Okay, Ms. Grayson, anything else?
No.
Okay. All in favor of delaying, say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 75 is authorized number 1, the first of 4 12-month renewal options to the contract with the Southern Dallas Development Corporation to administer the Community Development Block Grant CDBG Business Revolving Loan Program, and number 2, any unexpected balances of program income from prior contract years be rolled over to continue the business revolving loan program. This item does require 2 seconds. The statement previously read by Mayor Rawlings applies to this item.
Do we have a motion? Second. Do we have another second?
Second.
Discussion? Questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 76 is a resolution authorizing number 1, an interlocal agreement with the North Central Texas Council of Governments, NCTCOG, detailing the projects, roles, and responsibilities for a sustainable development grant program grant in the amount of $100,000 in RTC local funds for the Stillman LBJ Urban Planning Initiative Study, and number 2, transfer of funds to NCTCOG from the Stillman Corridor TIF in the amount of $25,000, serving as a local match, and return of any unused local match funds balance to the Stillman Corridor TIF. This item does require 2 seconds. The record previously read by Mayor Rawlings applies to this item.
Do we have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second. We have 2 seconds. Mr. Allen, discussions? Oh, he pulled up. Mr. Cadane. No, I meant Zay. Any discussion? I'm sorry, your name was up there. So. Okay. Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That does conclude your items for this on your individual items with items number 71 and 72 held for the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now. Okay, given there are no other items till this afternoon from a zoning standpoint, I would ask the City Council to move into executive session. It is 9:34 a.m., August 24th, 2011. The City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda. It's Doug Moore v. City of Dallas. But before we do that, I think, Mr. Atkins, did you want to say something, Mr. Atkins?
Yes, Mayor. You know,
before we actually adjourn.
Tomorrow is your birthday, and I did go to your office, and I didn't see no pictures of Dallas, so we had some for you.
Oh.
Well, oh, wow.
That's beautiful.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow.
Beautiful.
This is from the whole city council. The picture of the Dallas Hotel, so...
Let's say we now come back to this level.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mayor, we got a thing to you.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Happy birthday to you. Happy
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else have any other gifts before we go into executive session? Hearing and seeing none, we'll move into executive session. Thank you.
It is now 1:04 p.m. on August 24th. The City Council will now reconvene after our executive session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda. Doug Moore v. City of Dallas et al. Madam Secretary, I think we had a couple of items we didn't finish on this morning, so would you... excuse me, I'm sorry. Before we do that, Mr. Cadane, I'd like to recognize you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to recognize one of my constituents who is here today, is Jackson Mim. Jackson, stand up for it. Jackson's with Boy Scout Troop 36. He's here today to obtain his merit badge for communication. And thank you, Jackson, for using the City Hall to move you forward. And congratulations on what you're doing in the Scouts, son. It's very honorable. Degrees that you're getting and what you're doing is very honorable. Thank you for being here with us today. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you and congratulations and please stay awake.
All right, Madam Secretary,
let's get to the work.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now to addendum item number 6. The Mayor read a statement earlier that applies to this item. It does require 2 seconds. Addendum item number 6 is a resolution consenting to the City of Irving entering into 2 9-year Chapter 380 economic development grants agreements with Avile Services, Inc., providing incentives in an amount equal to, number 1, 40% of the taxes paid on incremental business property, personal property, and number 2, 100% of taxes paid on Freeport-eligible personal property inventory associated with a company operating a warehouse distribution center at 2700 Regent Boulevard, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport, Texas, 75261. Again, this item requires 2 seconds.
We got 2 seconds. Any discussion?
Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I understand that Council Member Mr. Graves on item number 71.
Yeah, item number 74. We need to think about reconsidering. Do we have a motion for reconsider?
So moved.
Second. Any discussion on the reconsideration? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. If I may, Mr. Mayor, read the item into the record one more time.
Please.
Item number 74 is authorize an economic development loan agreement pursuant to the public-private partnership program with 16th Avenue Holdings, LLC, related to the improvements to certain property located within the city of Dallas.
Mayor, I move that the resolution associated with agenda item number 74 be amended to include, one, a 2% annual interest rate, and two, that the loan be secured by the lease and a personal guarantee.
We have 2 seconds. Questions? Comments? Mr. Griggs?
I think it's critical whenever we deal with taxpayer money that, one, we make sure that the loans that we give are secured. So that's why I'm moving that this loan be secured. And two, I think we were being very generous in giving this loan to create some much needed economic development in West Dallas and create 25 jobs. And I think a 2% interest rate is very fair to the citizens of Dallas and will keep this project moving forward.
Any other comments, questions? Ms. Grayson?
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say that I second Mr. Griggs' comments. I think this is a better deal than it was before, and I think it's a win-win, so I'm very pleased to support it.
Hearing no other questions or comments, we've had the motion in 2 seconds. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. I think we're going to back up now and look at a couple items we put off for the test.
Yes, item number 71 and 72, those as well require 2 seconds and have to be considered collectively. We read those that item into the record. Item number 71 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code with Priority Fulfillment Service, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of PFS Web, Inc., related to the relocation of its prime customer contact center at 2-1201 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202. Item number 72 is authorized an application to the Office of the Governor Economic Development and Tourism through the Economic Development Bank Nominating Priority Fulfillment Service, Inc., located at 1201 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas, 75202, to receive designation as an enterprise project under the Texas Enterprise Zone Act, as amended Government Code Chapter 2303.
We have a motion. We're going to we look at each item individually, correct?
Collectively. The motion will be for both.
All right, so the motion will be for both items 71 and 72. Ms. Hunt?
Move to approve both items.
Yes. And Mr. Cadane, second.
Another second, Mr. Mayor, please.
Mr. Atkins?
Thank you.
Discussion, Ms. Hunt?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to point out one of the significant aspects of these two items is that it's going to bring 600 entry-level jobs to downtown. So a lot of these will be folks who had been unemployed, and it will bring back employment to the heart of our city. I think that's very important. Also, it'll remove 75,000 square feet of vacant office space from our downtown malls, and that's terrific as well. So I think it's a very good investment. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This caught my attention because it's very rare that we see an economic development grant proposal that has negative fiscal impact, as this does. And over a period of 10 years, it will actually lose money to the city treasury. But as Ms. Hunt said, it will bring 600 jobs. It will take 75,000 square feet of space out of downtown, vacant space out of downtown. This is a situation that I am really, really sorry did not have the opportunity to go through the Economic Development Committee, because that would have been the appropriate place to really get into a discussion about when and how we want to deal with situations like this that have a negative fiscal impact. I support it, but I support it very skeptically, and I truly hope that we don't see very many like this coming toward us, and that the staff finds every way possible to bring it to a committee before bringing it to the council. Thank you.
Commissioner Margolis? Any other comments? Hearing none, we have a motion, 2 seconds, to approve item number 71 and 72. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now with your zoning cases on the consent zoning agenda. Item number 77 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1140 for a municipal service center on property zoned in MU3 mixed-use district on both sides of Wakola Street, south of SMU Boulevard. Item number 78 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within planned development district number 357, the Farmers Market Special Purpose District, on property bounded by Young Street, South Pearl Expressway, South Cesar Chavez Boulevard, and Marilla Street. Item number 79 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned in CSD1 Commercial Service District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the northeast corner of CF Pond Freeway and South Beltline Road. Item number 78 did have an individual sign up. That individual is Audra Buckley. Audra Buckley. Ms. Buckley, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. After that, the item will be open to other speakers. Please state your name and address for the record.
Audra Buckley, 2814 Main Street, Dallas, Texas. I originally signed up because I thought I was going to have to speak today, but I really wanted to come in front of you and tell you how excited we are about our Farmers Market Square project. We have worked many hours with planning staff and with economic development to come up with a plan that will bring some infill owner-occupied housing to downtown Dallas. Councilwoman Hunt has been extremely instrumental to us in this process. We met with her early on before we even closed on the property, and we've kept her involved with our progress every step of the way. So we appreciate you approving our TIF application a couple of weeks ago, and we look forward to having our approval today.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item read into the record?
Hold on before you come to the microphone. Can I see a show of hands? Do we have people for this item? Does that want to speak on behalf of this item?
I'm speaking in behalf of it.
Okay. Anybody again? Okay, thank you.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Sure. Trina Trish, Dallas City. I'm in favor of economic development of any kind. I think that it will move this city forward. However, there needs to be more than economic development. There needs to be justice for all. There needs to be fairness. There needs to be equity and other things as it relates to bringing in jobs, hiring people, and everything else that needs to be done to move this city forward. I am for this, but again, whenever we do something, let us be mindful that we need to do it with integrity. We need to do it with concern for all citizens, not just the Latinos and anyone else. Congratulations to the two African American women as we celebrate women's suffrage. That's on the council as well. And again, I do support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Christian.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Do we have a motion to approve the item? Second. Discussion, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I just wanted to say on the farmer's market issue, we're going to continue to work on addressing some parking issues. I know that some of the surrounding property owners were concerned about the loss of parking, and so
guys together and trying to make sure that we have enough parking there to access the farmer's market and keep those businesses alive and happy. So I appreciate also the property owners and their representatives working on this as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Any other comments, questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 80 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a grade 1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of less than 3,500 square feet on property zoned in RRD Regional Retail District with a D liquor control overlay on the east line of Southampton Road, northwest of Marvin D. Love Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, within 17 notices to property owners within 300 feet of their request, received one reply in favor and no reply in opposition.
Thank you.
We do have one individual that signed up to speak on this item this morning. That individual is Arlinda Whitaker. If you'll please state your name and address for the record and whether you're in favor or in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve. Thank you.
Could you put right in the mic, ma'am? Thank you very much.
Linda Whitaker, Dallas, Texas, and I represent the Elderwoods Neighborhood Association, and we are in opposition to this SDC, and want this to be on record for reasons. We do not believe that the sale of beer and alcohol at this location is compatible with the issues of our community and the businesses that are in existence there right now. A primary concern is the daycare center that's just a few doors down, and from reading the city ordinances, it prohibits alcohol and beer from being sold in near proximity to daycare center. So it would appear that this would be a violation of the city's ordinance. There may be other justifications that you have had the approval, but we're not aware of it. I think there are safety and security issues related to beer and alcohol being sold in an area where there are children. And we know that from other communities throughout Dallas, the impact of beer and alcohol in little small neighborhood convenience stores. I have pictures across Dallas of the impact of beer and alcohol sales in little convenience stores throughout our city. There's a tendency for people to gather. There's a tendency for people to slaughter. There's a tendency for people to sell drugs. There's a tendency for things to happen in communities that impact negatively on the environment. And we're concerned about our neighborhood maintaining its integrity and would like you to consider these factors when you make your decision. We noticed that even on Camp Wisdom at Woodwick, Wee Wisdom Daycare Center has a beer and wine establishment that's been allowed to sell beer there. And that's the same situation. It's very near proximity to a daycare center. So this appears to be a trend where we are not getting attention to ordinances that are in place that protect children. And that is our concern, our neighborhood as well, and the potential over the years. We've lived in this community a long time, we've lived in Dallas a long time, and the impact of alcohol and beer sales in certain areas, in time, it has a very negative effect and impact. So it's not all over Dallas where we see this, but it does happen in minority communities, and we're very concerned about the trend. It affects home values, it affects the movement inside of communities of younger families with children, and we just need you to take it under advisement that this association, Homeowners Association Elderwood, is not in favor of this being approved. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Kermit Mitchell. Live at 5659 Marblehead Drive, Dallas, Texas 75232. I'm vice president of the Twin Oaks Neighborhood Association, and as 700 homeowners, I've been here before, but then I'll repeat and reiterate some of that, and then add some others. But we're in opposition to this, alongside with Twin Oaks, that this should not be voted for. And upon my measurement this morning at 7 o'clock, we come to, and I have copies here for anyone, I've given it to council here and as a proponent, but this establishment is 162 feet between the property line and 210 feet from door to door to Little Rascals Daycare Center. And Dallas City Code Section 6.4 prohibits permits and licenses under the TABC Chapter 25 for a beer and wine retailer, and TABC Chapter 28 for the sale of mixed drinks within 300 feet of a daycare center. This, which is an application now, violates that statute, if you will. The measurement of the direct line from the property line of a daycare center to the property line of the place of business is a direct line across intersection. That was measured this morning. Therefore, this one-stop convenience store is 210 feet inside of the 300-foot prohibition to the door, not even the property line. With the property line, it's 162 feet, well inside any prohibition of this application. And I might add that in the past, this a committee, this was voted on as only fair that they should come forward, because Valero's had been given a application. And if Valero's would get it, they should get it. And I'm going to suggest that when Valero's is voted, our constituents' rights were ignored at that point, and therefore we were voted again, and Valero's got it. Well, let's stay there. Valero also is within 300 feet to the parking lot of this daycare center. So consequently, we'll be revisiting that issue again. The only fair thing that we're asking is that the representative form of government stands tall here and listen to the constituents that are lined up here by 700 here and another 300 there, as we said there previously, that this is a profit for one and a problem for nearly 1,000. And I might add that voting against this does not put them out of business. This is not really putting a liquor store out of business. They are already doing other things and have been for years. We did our investment for it being not with wine and beer. We're now asking that you maintain that investment for us. And any decrease, this decreases the property value and decreases the tax revenues and is in addition to the growth of our area. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in favor?
Mr. Mayor, Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson. We actually support most of the Plan Commission recommendation. We asked for an automatic renewal similar to the Valero store that was approved at the corner of Hampton and Martin B. Love Freeway. I'd just like to point out a couple of items. That the daycare facility, when we first began this application, we were encouraged to ask their opinion on this request, not just for this case you have before us, but also for the Luby, also for the Valero station. We have a letter that was submitted to the chairman of the Plan Commission and is on record that they support all three applications. And it wasn't just because they know this tenant for a year and this other tenant for two, but that they've known these operators for over 6 years and they trust their ability to comply with all TABC requirements. I'd like to point out that when we made our application to file this request, we had to submit a TABC survey that was certified by a surveyor, reviewed by your staff. We would disagree with some of the measurements that you heard today, that for the Valero station is 300 feet to the property line, but you have to still continue to the door. For the Luby's restaurant, that measurement, since Luby's is a restaurant, there's a different calculation from door to door for that as well. But what we want to remind you of is that your staff has been extremely diligent not to forward any of these cases if the city attorneys have felt that there's been an incorrect measurement taken on any of these applications. We feel confident that in the review of your staff that's been certified to bring forward to you today that we can comply with, that we do comply with all TABC regulations. We ask for your support on this request to have the same options that were given to the Valero station at the hard corner of Hampton and 67. I'd like to point out, in addition, We have no residential adjacency. We are located on the other side of Marvin D. Love Freeway. We are located across the street from Executive Airport. There are two office towers across the street to south of the post office, where we took time to ask the owner of those towers. We sent a formal letter explaining our request if they had any objection as the nearest property owner not related to the city of Dallas. We've had no objections to this request. Again, we have no residential adjacency. We feel that this request is in order, and we just simply ask for the 2-year with the renewal option that staff recommended. Stand for any questions you may have.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve this item?
Mr. Mayor, I am going to... Will you recognize me?
Yes, I will.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am going to make a motion, but I'm going to make a comment before I make the motion. Ms. Whitaker and Mr. Mitchell, I appreciate both of you coming down and speaking. I always encourage you to participate in the governing process, as you know. I will not go along with your recommendation, as you also know, because I discussed this with both of you, and so you knew that I was not going to go along with you. The reasons that I've articulated to you imply that I will now articulate publicly. This area for both item 80 and 83 is at the corner of a very busy highway, Interstate 67 and Hampton Road. It is a commercial area. As Mr. Martinez stated, there is not residential adjacency to this area. In fact, my house is closer to this area than probably anybody else's house who has spoken. And my house is not adjacent to this area. The closest residency is the apartment. The apartments are separated from this area by a significant amount of space, including the big garden section. In addition to that, the favorable response, and there was only one, was from the daycare center. My concern was the daycare center, and they put in writing that they support all three of the applications, the Valero, the convenience store, and the Lugan. I have heard the language that this is a liquor store. This is not a liquor store. This is a sale of beer and wine, which the city as a whole has voted to approve. I recognize that some of the folks in my district did not vote for that. We lost. That fight is over. Beer and wine sales won in the city of Dallas. And in the two voting precincts closest to where this location is, 66% of the voters approved the sale of beer and wine in a restaurant for on-premise consumption. I've heard a plea for law enforcement. The Dallas Police Department has been especially vigilant in and around this area. I have worked with them consistently. I have worked with the Neighborhood Association. And we have had the kind of law enforcement that we should have. I am satisfied that the Dallas Police Department will enforce all of the ordinances that need to be enforced around this area, and that there will not be the problem without proper law enforcement. In addition to that, and again, I said this privately, and now I'm going to say it publicly. If someone could say to me that my constituents do not consume alcoholic beverages, beer and wine, or do not buy beer and wine, my ear would listen differently. No one can say that to me. In District 5, my constituents both buy and consume beer and wine. Other neighborhoods for so long, and particularly neighborhoods in Miss Davidson district, have been burdened with people who could buy alcoholic beverages in their community and then take it to their homes and consume it. If District 5 constituents are able to consume and buy, I do not understand why we have to go into Miss Davis's district or East Dallas and burden that community to buy, and my district is consuming. Additionally, beer and wine sales, whether you like it or not, brings revenue dollars into the city, and District 5 benefits from those dollars just as every other community and district. If we share the benefit, and we do, there is no good reason why we should not have to share the proceeds. Mr. Mayor, I move on item 8.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I move to close the public hearing and follow the staff recommendation of approval.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Other comments, Ms. Davis?
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to have John Rogers please come up, please. As he's coming, I did not support the sale of beer and wine in neighborhoods. I knew that perhaps some of this would come up with concerns about beer and wine. And, of course, it is now, the whole city is now wet, and so we must continue to ask questions. And I want to ask a question. With daycares, if a daycare is in a particular neighborhood, and if there is a restaurant that sells beer and wine next to the daycare, then a convenience store that's down the street from the daycare selling beer and wine, and then around the corner on a different street that's selling beer and wine, can they operate with a daycare being there?
Yeah, John Rogers, City Attorney Publish. The rules for that are contained in Chapter 6 of the City Code, and the alcohol business has to be spaced 300 feet from a child care facility, measured property line to property line. But that spacing does not apply if it has a food and beverage certificate, so it would not apply generally to restaurants, and it only applies to certain types of permits. TABC permits 25, 28, 32, 69, and 74. In this case, what I'm told is that these applicants are applying for a Chapter 26 permit from the TABC, so the spacing does not apply.
Well, there are some constituents in my district, and you've met with her, and I'm not going to say her name, you've met with her out in that Lapado area, and did we tell them this when they voted? Because she voted for this, but she said if she had known what you're saying now, perhaps her vote would have been different. Did we tell the constituent this?
Yes. I have an outline of liquor regulations, city regulations of liquor regulations that I give out to citizens, and it's got all of the rules in that with citations to the city code so they can look it up if they're
interested. Yeah, no, if we were doing this last year, we asked for a couple of things to ensure that we wouldn't get a lot of them in one area, one concentrated area. We talked about that, but we never met on it. Now, there are some stores that are just popping up, and they're popping up especially off of thoroughfares and major highways. And it's a lot of them in one area, and there are some daycares by some of them. We never did need to talk about giving a number of how many could pop up in one area. Can we do that?
No. The Alcoholic Beverage Code does not have any rules about the concentration of number of permits in this specific
area.
But
what I'm asking,
and the city cannot do that either.
So
now,
under the SUP,
well,
and D1 overlay, we cannot ask the city. We asked this question a year ago. No one gave us an answer. And what you guys said is you would get back with us.
Now, the reason that this case is before City Council today is because this property is currently zoned, has a D1 overlay on it, which was created before June of 1987.
No, I'm just saying, Councilmember Hill have approved her motion. I'm just talking about overall. You guys are going to get back with us to talk about this because there are things that are just popping up, and they're all tend to be, you might have now, four of them on one thoroughfare, and they're all selling beer and wine.
Right.
And let me say this. The beer and wine is going to get worse in the future. It's going to get worse in the future. I will say that because we did not do our homework to ensure that you don't have six of them on one thoroughfare, or four of them on one. Because I guarantee you, I've lived this, I've been there. If you don't, we don't do something. TABC is in the business of making money. They're there for the beer and wine store. They're there for those individuals who want to sell beer and wine. And they don't care if 40 of them come to them. As long as they got their $25,000 or their $30,000 to give them, they're going to make money. But somehow, when you got five of them going on thoroughfares and all of them selling beer and wine, I just think it's just a little too much. And I wish that we would have had a conversation about all of this because I knew the day was going to come. And it's mostly convenience stores and gas stations and stores that's doing this, that we're going to have this type of problem, and it's going to get worse in the future. So we don't have a way to regulate any of these, is what you're telling me.
We can only regulate alcohol as allowed by the Alcoholic Beverage Code. Everything that we can do under the Alcoholic Beverage Code has been contained in Chapter 6. There is no rule that regulate the concentration of liquor permits in a given area.
What can the neighborhood do to protect themselves?
Well, if the neighborhood wanted to change state
before,
law
we
to require...
We've closed the store before, back in 1989.
Well, yes, if a business that has a liquor permit is a bad operator, is detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare, the neighborhood can file a protest with the TABC and request that the permit be revoked.
Okay, but they have to be considered a bad business.
Yeah, you have to show that they're detrimental to the public health, safety, and welfare.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And thank you, Ms. Davis. And this is clearly a District 5, but it is also a City of Dallas concern. Let me first say that no one fought harder than myself and Ms. Davis to speak out against beer and wine and the effect that it would have primarily on the southern part of Dallas. And from and through experience and seeing the things that are still taking place on MLK, the transformation now of what our problems and concerns have been on MLK are now infiltrating in the Oak Cliff area and other areas to include Pleasant Grove behind the vote that took place. Now, the vote took place. At the end of the day, the majority of the citizens of this city said it, but it did not go without a fight. And it did not go without a position. And it was unpopular as it relates to me, myself, personally, and I can personally attest to that, because folks gave me a black eye behind my support against beer and wine. And let me say to them today, I still don't care. Then give me another one. But here is where we are. The things that were said are now coming to fruition. Mr. Perryman, and I continue to put him on Front Street because he's the big consultant that Kroger hired to come in and tell you, ma'am, and to us, our community, that it was going to be $33 million that's going to come into our budget that we're going to have, that's going to be the impact. But yet, those same $33 million that are now invisible, as we talk about closing Glendale Swimming Pool in Bonneville, in which it's still not going to happen. But where is that money? Had that money been here as promised, then, of course, the little bit of money we need to keep even the pools open. And these were the great promises that were made to us, and folks heard it and bought into it. But at the end of the day, this is what we have. Let me say from experience, in my district, direct in my district, there are so many beer and wine places popping up. Even McGriff's Furniture Store that stopped selling furniture and it opened up a beer and wine. Right across the street on Marsalem, down the street from South Oak Cliff High School, around the corner from Bob Story Middle School, they now are selling beer and wine and got a big illegal sign out there that says, now selling beer and wine. The Texaco on the corner, they're selling beer and wine with a big illegal sign, as we sit here right now and talk today. The signs are there, big banners, and they have two of them. The store on Cedar Crest, right next door to Cedar Crest Church of Christ. Wait a minute now, they park on the same parking lot. They are now selling beer and wine. It is everywhere. Now, true, as the council member said, Ms. Hill, it's everywhere. So it is everywhere. My position is simple. I have voted, let me be real clear, since this election, I have voted and support and will be supporting another neighborhood and beer and wine opportunity. I will be in support of that because, one, the neighborhood has embraced it. Let me be clear with this. I listen to the people. And I put the people first. I don't care where they are, but I listen to the people. And I'm hearing from the people today. And my position would be that, one, I will not be supported, but let me be clear. It's going to pass, so get ready for that. This is going to happen in your community. Remember that. But also remember that I'm here, and all of us are here, or should be, in support of the wishes of the people. And I keep the people first. And I heard what you said, and I saw your pictures, ma'am. And they are very, very beautiful pictures in one sense of the word. But when you go within the community, when you go on Overton, at the corner of Overton and Ramona, and you see the store, sir, that's there, you see those big beer trucks blocking the streets and the avenues. When I was campaigning against this, folks did not understand that I had seen the big picture. I kind of saw through the fog in advance. And there was a muzzle that was placed because it was big money. Grocery stores were promised, and you hadn't seen not one blueprint of one coming, with the exception of Walmart. I always want to say thanks to Walmart, because they're bringing two into our district. But they're bringing the two not predicated on beer and wine. Those are the things that we need to be concerned about. And those are the things that I will continue to fight for. I will not sit here and bite my tongue. I will not sit here to go along just to get along. I'm known for representing and being with the people. and telling it like it is. But at the same token, I want you all to understand that this is a fight that pretty much you're going to lose. You're not going to lose it with my vote. I'm going to be voting with you. I'm going down with the Titanic. But I also want you to understand that there are times that I will be voting for BNY. So it's not hypocritical. But if and when people come and they say, as you all have been coming, sir, you've been coming, and I've seen you. Ma'am, you've been coming, and I've seen you. And I've heard you. So I will not be supporting this issue. I will not be hypocritical when I support other issues. Let me take that out of the press in advance. Because I will support some issues. But those that are critical and essential and communities come down and say something about, I will not just jump on board so very quickly to be against you. I'm with you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Any other discussion? We have a motion in 2 seconds. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? If two opposed, motion is carried. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 81 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of 3,500 square feet or less on property zoned in CRD1 Community Retail District with a D1 liquor control overlay on the north side of Sine Road west of Jim Miller Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 54 notices to property owners from the 300 feet of their request. We received 12 replies in favor and 6 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve this item? Any speakers in opposition?
Thank you. Minister Trina Trish, Dallas City. I come before you because this is the second ordinance about beer and wine, and I've heard what everyone has said. You can always put a moratorium on the amount of things that are said. You can always put a stop. You can say, okay, 5 is enough, and call a moratorium on it and stop it. Pay attention to the areas where beer and wine is coming, who they're focusing on, and why is so many coming in one area and not in another. When certain people want to buy it, they'll go and drive and go and get it. But then when you put it in certain areas and put a lot of them in one certain area, then you have a lot of those individuals who will take advantage of it because it is readily available. I would ask this council when they start approving and disapproving of certain things like that, that they would take that into consideration. I applaud Mr. Caraway, who recognized that he is a public servant, that he represents the people. That's called the power of the penny, and that's what all council members, public servants, are supposed to do, serve the public. You can't consent to anything according to the First Amendment unless a person is given a right to petition representatives and get feedback on anything. I came here free, and I came here knowing my rights as an individual. I was born here. Nevertheless, I would hope that my rights this day has not been taken away. Or, according to that constitution, I will utilize the proper protocols to take care of that. I can guarantee you that one. Thank you all, and have a nice day.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor?
Thomas Martinez, 900 Jackson. We've had some correspondence this morning with the neighborhood association. It's my understanding we feel comfortable holding this case to continue those conversations. We stand for any questions you may have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No future speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We have a motion to approve.
process question. I want to get a motion and a second before we have discussion. Are you going to make a motion?
Well, I will, but let me read this into the deal,
Please, Ms. Davis.
There was a constituent. He's the Neighborhood Association President. In this particular case, it's citing Jim Miller. And I just want to make sure the consultant, he had wrote that he had met with the owner of the station. Well, let me ask, let me see what he said in the email. He asked me to, he agreed with the 2-year permit. He said that. He also said that he had met with the owner of the station, of the shopping center, and he said, I visited the store, talked to them about the beer and wine, and told him that the neighborhood would be watching them like a hawk. Underage selling is a huge concern, so they want to make sure that the store knows that, and so they need to put something in place, that the store is not in good shape, and he and the neighborhood is hoping that adding beer and wine sales, that this can clean up the store and that shopping center, because I guess everything else is closed around the shopping center. And so because of that, and I got several letters from that particular neighborhood association, here it is right here, that they support the sale of beer and wine. So I would like to move forward and to close the public hearing and file the city plan recommendation with a 2-year permit. And if they don't do what they're told and do it right, then I would not be supporting the other 2-year permit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a motion. Mr. Caraway seconds this.
Mayor.
Yeah, can we clear something?
Mr. Cadane, is this a 2-year commit because it said it had a 5-year option? So
that's what I wanted to clarify.
Is it two years
with no automatic renewal?
2 years with no automatic renewal.
Thank you. So to clarify, we have amendment to this, Madam Secretary?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, so we've got a motion with an amendment, 2 years. Mr. Caraway seconded. Other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Item number 82 was deleted on the addendum. Item number 83 is a public hearing regarding an application for a B1 liquor control overlay and a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a restaurant with drive-in or drive-thru service on property zoned in RRD Regional Retail District with a heat liquor control overlay on the east line of Southampton Road, northwest of Marvin C. Love Freeway. This item does require a 3/4 vote and also further requires 2 seconds.
Ms. Hill?
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Mayor, you have to talk to me. Thank you.
Oh, I'm
thank
sorry. I thought she said
thank you. The public hearing, are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny? Please state your name and address for the record.
Santos Martinez, 900 Jackson, representing Luby's and the owner of the property. We would strongly encourage you to follow staff's recommendation for this restaurant that's 8,300 square feet. For the ability to sell on-premise beer and wine for its patrons when they come to the restaurant. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? I mean to deny. Are there any speakers in favor?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor, Dallas Cotton, 900 Jackson Street. And I think this may get held, but given that the property owner is our client, I think everybody is very well aware that there have been tenants that have been lost out there. Luby's is on the last year of their lease. They haven't renewed. They have other stores that they've gone dark on for a long period of time. I was in Denton on a job recently, and the one right there by the mall has been dark, I think, 3 years or more. So this is an 8,300 square foot building, and I'd just like you to be mindful of it's very difficult or impossible to find a national creditworthy restaurant type tenant in any market, particularly on a highway, if you don't have the ability to have an SUP in hand. And it's very, you just won't get
When Chili's left to go further down south to another municipality at the Southwest Center Mall location, and they just haven't been able to replace them. And so it's easy to say, well, once you have a tenant, you can come back and get the SUP. Well, that's a six-month process in Dallas, and it's just very difficult or impossible for your broker to close a deal when they can find other locations. And so this is a very, you know, for a restaurant, a very large building at 8,300 square feet, that is a problem in itself. And so the handicap of not having the ability for a restaurateur to have beer and wine sales makes it even more difficult. So that's part of the, you know, process we're working through, and wanted to make you mindful of that. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to deny? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny the item? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Kermit Mitchell, 5659 Marble Head Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75232, Vice President of the Twin Oaks Neighborhood Association. At the Planning Commission, this property under consideration now was voted to not only to be denied, but to be denied with prejudice. I might add that the previous property was only a two-year permit. I'm not sure if it went on to get it more than that, but it was supposed to be a two-year without opportunity to renew. This particular property under consideration and discussion right now is with prejudice. That indeed to have beer and wine there and making what is a family restaurant, and they made their investment as a family restaurant, and to say that Luby's going to close or something like that, and we got to renegotiate with somebody else, that the Planning Commission looked at this situation and said that this should be a situation that should not even be considered, that they would be able to open beer and wine and serve there and make it another bar and grill or something in Luby's. And the questions that were asked there, and I'm reiterating for the benefit of the council, are there any other Lubies that are doing this, or is it just this neighborhood? And it came out, we don't know. And the questions that were asked did not have good answers to them. And therefore, the commission voted for this application to be denied with prejudice. I ask that this council once again listen to the constituents that are talking, but also, as we've heard so stringently before, to the staff that has recommended it. No.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to deny? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dallas Coughlin said very well, said very well, the possibility of that spot going dark. I do not want that spot to go dark. It would be a huge gaping hole at that intersection. I want the ability for the owner of the property to be able to negotiate with, for example, Chili's or Applebee's or some of those national chains. I do not want that spot to go dark. Mr. Mayor, I move to close the public hearing and follow the staff's recommendation. Staff's recommendation to change the D overlay to a D1 overlay and approve the SUP with the ordinances to come back on September 14th, 2011.
Do we have a second to that motion? Ms. Margolin? We need to, Mr. Atkins. Okay. Any discussion? Anything else, Ms. Hill?
No, sir.
Let me turn that,
sorry.
That's all right. No problem. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Mitchell, if you would come back down, please. And let me just say my concern about this is that the Plan Commission, those members of the Plan Commission that voted against this, my understanding is what I'm reading, they voted for denial. They carefully, I'm more than certain, went through this process and made the proper assessment. And this is in the same immediate vicinity of the last concern that we just had, the last property. Am I correct?
As a matter of fact, it's 246 feet from the daycare center.
All right, so
and it is immediately across the same parking lot from the daycare center as we previously discussed.
And Mr. Santos, if you could join us just for a minute, let me get some clarification as to the property owner's intent. Is there a current tenant that they are looking at, or are they wanting to remove this so they can go search for a tenant?
Thank you, Ms. Carraway. We represent the property owner, not the tenant, Luby's.
Okay.
And in our conversations with the property owner, Luby's lease has an option to renew. If Luby's chooses not to renew that, they now have an opportunity to attract another major national restaurant similar to Luby's to this location. So this request was made by the property owner.
Right. Well, now, and I wonder, counsel, that, and I'm looking at the neighborhood and trying to project what may happen. Could it be that if this were to be approved with Luby's contract pending for renewal or whatever their decision may be, that this is something that could possibly be used to push Luby's out away from that particular location, because they have another one down on 67, I'm just kind of looking at what potentially could be behind this move prior to having someone coming to us seeking the approval that has so designated their wanting to be there. In other words, if Applebee is coming, then to me, Applebee should be saying, hey, we'd like to come, and we would come pending this approval. Then it gives the neighborhood an opportunity to say, well, you know, we may want an Applebee, we may want a Chili's. But what we are blindly doing, and what I'm thinking that the plan commission is in looking at, especially my plan commission, Michael Davis, who does a heck of a job on the plan commission, I'm thinking that they're saying, wait a minute, let's not do this in the blind. Let's wait till someone comes with a commitment, give the community an option of Luby's, or maybe Luby's coexisting with an Applebee, and I'm just saying Applebee, or Luby's leave and Applebee's come in. But with this, we are pre-approving something, not knowing who it may be, and to me it sounds as though we could possibly be giving the landlord a tool in his box to push Luby's out for a better deal, in which then the community loses, because then there are people that depend on going to Luby's, preferably seniors, going to that particular Luby's, one, for convenience, two, because the food is good, and three, because they're trying to eat healthy. Now, so my concern, those are my concerns, so I'm just trying to figure that out. Anybody got an answer? Who won't go for it?
As was represented by counsel here, that they're representing the owner of the property. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the owner of the property wants that whole 4.5 acres to go west.
Right.
Now, that gives the owner of the property the opportunity to push a rent up that Luby's may not be able to afford because it is not serving alcohol.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And therefore, what you are expressing as a concern, there, as a family restaurant without alcohol, there's an X with a more bar and grill, sports screens, and everything else that may be attended with another kind of activity. There's an X, 2X maybe, or an X plus. And therefore, I with the neighborhood, are contending that this is not only preemptive, but it's unnecessary, because indeed Luby's needs its own opportunity to coexist there.
I got it. Thank you. Is there a question to staff on this? Because I don't want to argue this thing in public here.
Well, I'm saying, Mayor, but I do want to make this point.
Well, I mean, please make your point.
Yeah, I just want to make the point that the staff, the commission has sent a signal to vote this down. And now we're here today to go against the planning commission. I will still stick with the neighborhood.
Right.
And I will stick with my planning commission and his position, and would hope that the council will do the same. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Garraway. Other questions? Thoughts? I just want to say that I agree with Ms. Hill. This is one of the most important parts of Southern Dallas, and we can never let this intersection go dark. And if we have to prepare for the future and give people cards to play to make sure we have that built up, I want to give them those cards. This is too critical of an intersection for Southern Dallas to deal with. So I just want to go on the record on that. So we need a record vote on this, Mr. Rios.
We just need 2 seconds.
I thought we already had 2 seconds.
As long as it's three quarter vote, we'll be fine.
We already have the 2 seconds. Okay. So, any other discussion? All in favor, say aye. Any opposed? One. Motion is carried. Thank you.
Item number 84 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new sub-district within the downtown special provision sign district in an area generally bounded by R.L. Thornton Freeway, Hotel Street, Jefferson Boulevard, Bybet Market Street, Jackson Street and Wood Street, and Ackert Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 280 notices to property owners within 200 feet of their request. We received 9 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve item 84.
22 seconds,
please. Okay. Okay, any discussion? Ms. Grayson?
I thought there was supposed to be an amendment or some sort
that would
of...
be 85. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I apologize for that. I'd like to move to close the public hearing and approve the ordinance with the following changes. One, define the convention center complex as a convention center and buildings attached to the convention center, including the convention center hotel. And two, allow the convention center complex to have accent lighting consisting of LED or similar technology that changes colors and brightness, that displays images, symbols, logos, or words associated with an event taking place at the convention center complex or within the downtown special provision sign district.
Do we have a second to that amendment? Ms. Hart? Do we have this too?
Yes,
Ms. Hasso. Any discussion? Ms. Grotto, do you have anything else you
want to say? I think the best example for this is, say the Mary Kay Convention is in town and they're in town, you know, 3 weeks, and they want to display Mary Kay or the letters MK, or perhaps the building would go pink one night. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Not a video board. It's simply displaying something that is in conjunction with something that's happening at the convention center.
Thank you, Mr. Donald. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. What this really means, what this language really means, is that we can have our hotel that's 23 stories high be a 23-story billboard for whoever is at the convention center at the time or doing a function in the hotel. LED lights that would have their logo or their name up 23 stories high on our hotel. As somebody who thinks we're over lighting up downtown, I make no apologies for the fact that I don't want to look like downtown Tokyo. That's what this means. I had a question for staff. In this language that was just read into the record as part of this motion, I noticed that it says that the lighting can be used to display these logos and words, etc. Anything associated with a convention or an event taking place within this complex, which means the convention center and the hotel and the district that has been outlined here, it says associated with district activities. Does that mean this particular small sub-district within the downtown district, or does it mean all of the downtown special provision sign districts?
District activities are a defined term within the downtown SPSC. So, for instance, the thought would be turkey trot. Could there be somehow a turkey skirting across the space of the hotel that morning? But it is a district activity is very specifically defined within the ordinance. So I can get that definition for you if you like. But it's the same language that we use on video boards to require some percentage of every hour that they advertise the district activity, whether it be an event at Velo, Gardens, Main Street Gardens, Pegasus. Those are defined as district activities within the downtown.
So my question is that you're basically saying it's everything within the downtown special provision sign district, not restricted to this sub-district that is described in this item.
That's considered district activity, yes.
Will there ever be a time when there isn't something up there? Probably not.
I'm not sure of the plan. I imagine most of the time, and others may be able to address this better than I can, it'll simply be similar to the Hunt building where they're changing shades. I'm thinking that once the hotel becomes operation, obviously they're going to establish hours of operation that are consistent with their guests. If it has, ends up having impact at all on the lighting quality of the hotel.
This talks about we can adjust the lighting, the brightness, and the colors and things. Does it have the limitations on brightness that are associated with some of the other ordinances that apply in different areas?
No, ma'am, it does not currently. But again, I believe most of that's going to be driven since the light bands currently are between each floor of the Convention Center Hotel by the way that hotel is able to operate and still maintain the guests that they, without it impacting the guests of the hotel.
Thank you, Mr. Cosby. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Mr. Cochran, please. Is this, who's the applicant, and are these, who's selling these, or how does that work?
This is an authorized hearing.
Okay.
The Convention Center Hotel was designed with these LED bands. Again, this is not a digital sign so much as just bands between each floor.
Is this directly involving only the Convention Center Hotel?
Yes, sir. And it's limited to only being on the Convention Center Hotel. Yes.
Just the Convention Center Hotel.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And no signs up and down any of them?
No, sir. This is defined as being part of the Convention Center Hotel.
Okay. Is it some form of advertising associated with this?
It does not permit non-premise advertising. So unless it's an event occurring at the Convention Center, within the Convention Center Hotel, or again, that...
Like Mr. Madrano spoke about an air tape, for example.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you,
man. Okay. I'm hearing two things. Can this be throughout downtown, or is this just at the Convention Hotel?
It's just the Convention Center Hotel, yes.
I think you answered Ms. Grayson's question. It could be throughout all downtown.
No, what they're advertising could be anywhere throughout downtown. That was the question I asked, Mayor. It isn't that it could be anywhere. It's that the activity could be anywhere within downtown.
Thank you. Thank you. We got clarification. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. David, it is, when you said the band between each LED light, I guess for lack of better description, it's very much like the IBM logo that's got the bar, space, bar.
Let me provide a little bit of background. The Convention Center Hotel has been testing these lights, and maybe some of you have seen them at night and some of you haven't, but they're 9-foot-long neon bars, and they're in between the floors. And so they're 9 feet long, and they're spaced about 4 feet apart. When the hotel was originally deciding to put these in, they were exploring this technology, and just like the Hunt Building or the Wyarts Plaza, it was just thought of as a wow factor. you could make the lights change colors, you could make them ripple, and they, as they start exploring the technology, they realize they could make firecrackers, put an American flag up there. And then that started to prompt a question about whether or not that was a sign or not, whether if we had firecrackers exploding or if it turned all orange on OU weekend, would that constitute a sign? So this language was really to clarify that, to also then the thinking progressed a little bit further about, well, if the Mary Kay convention was in town, and then they're there for 3 weeks, if we turn the building pink and maybe put a big MK, would that be allowable? Is that considered a sign? Would that be considered off-premise advertising? And so we wrote this so that it could only be in conjunction with events that happen at the hotel. And then they wanted the downtown district, so if downtown was having a turkey trot or a Taste of Dallas, maybe they wanted a big, you know, martini on the side or a cake or something like that, if it was associated with that downtown activity. So that's kind of the thinking that got us to this amendment. Does that help?
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I just thought of one more question I wanted to ask. You had kind of mentioned it, David, when you gave your remarks, but no one could read this the way it's currently written and believe that they could pay us to put non-premise signage on the building, correct? I mean, that probably is going to come to us sometime in the future. I understand that. But for right now, nobody could pay us and say, I want to use my sign on the hotel.
Yes, that would be considered off-premise advertising, and it would not be.
Well, all of this is really off-premise advertising, but if they're taking, not, I guess technically not if they're renting out the convention center or they're renting space in the hotel. I guess I just want to make sure we're not going to have it be a huge billboard for some use that isn't even occupying the convention center, for some company that says, I'll pay you X amount of dollars and then we'll be able to use your 23-story hotel and put our sign up.
That's correct, ma'am. That is our understanding.
That is your interpretation of what this language is.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. Ms. Grayson, you're on point with where I'm trying to make sure that we're covered. For example, if the American boat ride was coming to downtown, and we put a boat up on the building in association with the event that's coming downtown utilizing our hotel, can the American Boat Ride pay somebody to facilitate that to them? Could it be profit for somebody to come? Or is it something that the city, we're doing and say, okay, it's downtown. So, hey, American Boat Ride, we appreciate you all coming. Bam, here you can use the hotel. Is anyone associated with the potential of making money off of the boat going in the martini glass, as you said, going on to our hotel, is where my concern is. And who can answer that?
The compensation question is not something that I could answer for you.
Is there someone that can clarify that for me?
The lighting package is part of the hotel.
Okay.
The revenues that would be generated by having activity on that building is to promote the hotel, the convention center. Revenues that would be derived would be going into the hotel.
And the only thing I want to make sure that I cover, is to make sure that if there is any outside entity outside of our hotel, even that the hotel is paying some consultant to do this, that if it's going to take place, make sure that then the proper bidding goes out for that, because there are a lot of folks that have opportunities to go out and do this, and not just one entity or one company that would be able to do it without fair bidding in the process.
Totally understand that concern. That is not the intent. Okay. It's all being configured so that it can be done by the hotel staff.
I support that.
Ms. Coop.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So as I understand, I understand that you said that, so if the turkey trot was downtown, since it's in the district being downtown district, the turkey trot could then be, there could be an advertisement on the convention center hotel for the turkey trot. Is that correct?
Well, again, I'm...
Not that it's an advertisement. It can have a turkey on there. Let me just put it that way.
Nobody. I mean, I'm certainly not sure of the technological limits of having this band only every 9 feet. But yes, you could have
right.
if you could do
right.
that. Yes, that would be permitted. Yes.
So, so the question of the folks, the private entity that runs the turkey trot, saying to the convention center, I want, you know, every year they have different logos for turkeys. I want this year's logo put on the convention center. You know, here's $1,000, you know, to do that. That must be used for the convention center hotel purposes. Is that, I'm just confused as to how this thing works.
The answer is yes. That money, whatever it might be, is to be generated for the hotel.
And one more time, what does district specific mean? Does district specific mean an event? An event?
It could be tied to an event in the areas described in the Amendment.
Could be something in the farmer's market. I'm sorry. Like you can't hear me. Could be something at the farmer's market. Could be something at the arts district. An event. The Halloween event.
The district activity, I think, is defined within the downtown SPSC, which farmer's market and arts district are actually a little separate from that. They have their own SPSC. But it certainly could be an event at Main Street Gardens, Field Gardens.
Okay.
At a, you know,
okay.
I guess it's quite.
And if the event coordinator wanted to have that logo or whatever on the convention center, they could pay them or not, just ask.
They could approach the Omni Hotel management to see what might be worked out. There might be some arrangements. But the idea is to see about how that's going to be benefiting the hotel revenues and the activity around there.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Atkins. AC.
I think Dwayne, Councilman Carway, asked a question. I just did some clarification. The operator actually operate the hotel, in their agreement they do not have to follow the guideline of low bid for this project if they want to have to advertise. Is that correct? Or what?
Well, this is going to be as part of their operation. The construction was all part of the overall project, which we've done quite well in terms of following all the goals that we have in terms of construction, etc. With regards to this particular operation, they're actually training the staff that Omni has in order to operate them.
So if they're in revenue, there is not a bid process?
No, it's part of the overall operation and under the contract that the city council approved.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other further discussion? Other questions? We have a motion and a second, 2 seconds, on this item. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Ms. Grayson? Opposed. All right, motion is carried. Next item.
Item number 85 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting amendments to the Downtown Special Provision Fund District, Section 51A-900 of the Dallas City Code, to amend the requirements for construction barricade signs, district activity video board signs, and super graphic wallscape signs in an area generally bounded by Woodall Rogers Freeway, Interstate 45, U.S. 75, Interstate 30, R.L. Thornton Freeway, and Interstate 35, Simmons Freeway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 1,004 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request. We received 40 replies in favor and 5 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Jim Wood, 2200 Ross, representing Downtown Dallas, Inc., and I'm here to be the applicant, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain motions. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Plan Commission's recommendation to approve the ordinance with the following change. No video boards and no super graphic signs are permitted on building facades that face Main Street Gardens or Belo Gardens.
Second.
We need 2 seconds, please.
We have 2 seconds. Ms.
Medrano?
Excuse me. Oh, you want to
Thank
speak
you.
Again? Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. colleagues, in part of the original ordinance, Thanksgiving Square had been pulled out as an area where we didn't want to put super graphics in the video boards, and I think it's important to do the same with our larger parks in downtown Dallas, because we want those to be kind of a place of reflection, of relaxation, and not really a place where people are inundated with bright lights and motion and advertisement constantly. And so I think these are two small carve-outs that can make a nice difference for our parks. And I talked with Downtown Dallas, and I understand that they're fine with this change. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm very supportive of vibrancy in downtown. I'm reading where it says, and who is that? Ms. Cotton? Yeah, well, she's coming. Tell me a little bit about the types of board. It says direct activities, video board signs, and super graphic walking.
Oh, in terms of the agenda wording, yes, sir. It amended, basically what this amendment does is expand the number of video boards that would be allowed within the downtown special green sign district.
Okay.
Expand the number of super graphics that could be allowed.
Right.
It extends the sunset provision. Also allows for construction barricade signs, which we recently amended the arts district to permit this, where you could have, during construction, you could have a single ad on each street frontage, basically, on a construction barricade.
And is this when we speak of wallscape?
Yes, sir.
And Ms. Hunt, you may help me with this. Are we talking a video board the size of a wallscape? If you got super graphic in here, if we approve this item, does that mean that there could be a big, giant, new video wallscape sign, according to what
no, sir.
Said here?
We are expanding the number of video boards. They are allowing for illumination of some of the wallscapes, but that really is an anticipation of new technology, as you're familiar, where you're almost sheet. Now, those wallscapes still cannot change their typeface, if you will. I mean, it has to be a static ad, but some of the amendment does allow illumination of those, but it would be the newer technology where it's basically an applied type of material.
And I understand the technology.
Yes, sir.
But I guess I'm primarily concerned about the size.
Yes,
what is the largest size we passed this ordinance today? That a video board, super graphic, is specifically is what I'm interested in. What is the largest sign that we could expect to see as relates to the word here, super graphic?
Yes, sir.
Super graphic takes the whole side of the wall.
Yes, sir.
The whole side of the wall. What is the largest size
that
this ordinance would allow to pass?
The size is not being changed by this ordinance. But currently, it's based on the size of the facade in terms of what it is. So we've seen, for instance, the sign, probably one of the larger facades we have, maybe Sheridan. There's others, but those get close to 20,000 square feet.
Okay, so we could have potentially when we pass this a 20,000 square foot super graphic.
Yes, sir.
Video.
Well, no, sir. Not a video board. Again, the super graphic has to be a static image.
I understand.
The video board amendments basically are just increasing the number of the 150 square foot video boards that you see on a couple of the buildings downtown today, and expanding the potential number. Currently, those are limited to 5 video boards. There's a few examples downtown where they're already in. The size of those is not being amended by this ordinance.
And you said we're increasing the number of super graphics.
Yes, sir.
All right. What is that number being increased to, and did we not just a few years ago go through an exercise with this to limit the number of super graphics? Can you recall what we did?
Yes, sir. We expanded those from the 12, or I think we upped it from 6 to 12, and now we're expanding it again. So I'm trying to find the language.
We're taking it to 22. Now,
yes.
What is the process? Because we went through some type of a process that allows companies, and not just one company, to dominate this particular market. I am in marketing, and I am the one that started Supergraphic downtown that found my way. Somehow y'all found my way out of it, but that's okay. What is the minority opportunity for everybody, not just African American Hispanic, but for everybody, for any company to participate with this? What is the permit process? Because some folks will have the money to go and buy up all of the 22 is where I'm going before other folks can go and participate in a closed market and have an opportunity to even purchase one.
The maximum number that any one sign company can have.
Okay.
Advisory Committee, in front of the City Plan Commission, and in front of City Council. notified all the property owners. There's also discussion with the Downtown Residents Council to formulating this proposal. City of Dallas has weighed in on this proposal.
Let me ask this, Angela. Now he said notify. Will there actually be a meeting with individuals in your district downtown, or is just a notification to let them know that this is going to happen?
Go ahead, Ms.
Carolyn, are you talking about on a sign-by-sign basis?
Well, I'm just saying here, it says it's a hearing, a public hearing to review the comments regarding this issue.
We're in the middle of that right now.
Okay, so it's really not going to go out to anyone. We're discussing it now.
This is their chance to have that right here.
Okay, I got something. So it's not going out to the public.
Ms. Davis, this is the zoning hearing for a code amendment.
Okay, so this is it. Okay.
So they did have the hearing at Plan Commission and special sign one. Now, what we didn't do is what we a lot of times do is we brief our code amendment to one of the council committees, and it hasn't, we haven't
okay,
gone
so,
through that process.
So it has not gone through the committee?
Well, a council committee, because the committee hasn't
okay.
been informed.
So, and I'm asking, and the question I'm asking is why did it not go to the committee?
We've been in recess, Ms. Davidson, and they keep pushing this through. We've been in recess. The committees have been in recess, so they decided to bring this item into the whole body before they went to the committee.
Well, it's in Ms. Hunt's district, in Ms. Madrona's district. You know, I just wish when they give us our stuff, and if they can just give us a picture of something on how it's going to look or something, because right now it doesn't give any dimension, it doesn't talk about size, it doesn't talk about, you know, anything. It's just, it's there, and you vote it up or down, and, you know, there it is. I just wish it would just give us a little more something.
Can I respond, Mr.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Hunt, please respond.
Thank you. I would say this. I think my colleagues know I'm not a fan of super graphics. I'm not a fan of video boards. I do not like the proliferation of these signs in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we have here is an attempt to balance concerns of folks like me with the free market interest in putting up these signs. Does it achieve that? I'm not sure. I would like to see no signage in downtown. I don't think we're ever going to be downtown Tokyo or Times Square, and I don't think we should try to be that. I think we can be different and better in other ways. However, I also know that Scenic Dallas, which generally opposes signage, is supporting this. Because I think a lot of the signage proposal was pulled back, and so it reflects much of a compromise, particularly with, I think, the carve-out of the park. So it's a balance. Do I love it? No. Rather have no signs. But I think at the end of the day, this is better than it could be worse, and I would prefer to see us have a balance with the amendments we have.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I look at this and I think about how when I was on council before, the only reason Super Graphics passed the first time was that it had an absolute cap of 5. 5. I came back and the cap was 12, and now they're asking for 22. On the video boards, it was 5. We weren't going to have more than 5, and now they're coming back and they're asking for more. You know, every time one of these comes in front of us, it's like the camel's nose under the tent, and pretty soon we have the whole camel under the tent. It's just done in stages. That said, and frankly, I think all of this is a bad idea, as I've said before, this is a compromise. And Scenic Dallas worked on this. Don Glendening, who is the president of Scenic Dallas, would have been down here today to address this, but he thought it was going to be delayed, and so he didn't come. But the fact that we are hearing it, he has advised me that he worked long and hard on behalf of Scenic Dallas on this. This is an improvement over what the original proposal would have been. And as much as I dislike it, I'm going to support it because it is a proposal that is a compromise. I guess my request would be, please don't come back next month with yet more, which I fully anticipate is going to be the case. But I'm going to support it simply because it is a compromise between something that we can vote on today and something that actually wanted even more than what we see in front of us today.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Grayson, for that, to make sure the folks know that it started with 5 and 12 and 22. Let me ask this. What does the city, as it relates to what type of economic impact, how much finance, how much of a fee per board, have that been discussed? And these are things that, in a budget crunch, certainly if you are going from 12 to 22, that has an impact financially. And certainly if the impact is there, then are we charging enough for fees? And one reason that I thought that we should put a little bit more discussion on, I'd love to see it go to the Quality of Life Committee, or to at least some committee, since we now have committees, to further discuss. Because at the end of the day, as Ms. Grayson has said, this is something that she could support, and do we necessarily have all our I's dotted today and T's crossed? Could it be that the fee for this could go up, and which could help us make more money? Because we got to be about finding more revenue, since they're going from 12 to 22. And if they were leasing at $50 per fee, for example, to the city, are we going to just still get the same $50, or is there an opportunity for us to get $100? So that we can kind of put something new into our side of the thing.
Yes, sir. The fees themselves are not going up. The last time we addressed it, we did dramatically increase the sign face change to be a square foot charge, depending on the size of the sign, that is elevated again. We walk kind of a fine line with what state says we can charge for fees, which is reasonable cost recovery for the services we provide. We believe that the fees we're charging do that to the greatest extent, favoring the amount of effort we
So we increase the number of super grants. The fees do not go up, but we increase the opportunity for them to make more money, but we still go up on people's water bills. I just want to be real clear where I'm coming from. I think it warrants a review for us to at least take it through the proper steps with today's city council and committee, so that we can only discuss things, not to tear it apart, not to lose the support of Scenic or anybody else, but to make sure that we're on the best side of the deal and that we're being very prudent with our decisions as related to the impact it's going to have. I'm done there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Any other questions, discussion? We have a motion and second on this item. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Mr. Caraway opposes. Motion is carried. Next item.
Item number 86 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an MU3 mixed use district and a resolution accepting the deed restrictions volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in IR Industrial Research District on the east side of Maple Avenue between Inwood Road and Butler Street. This item was corrected on the addendum and does require 2 seconds.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners on the entirety of this request. We received 2 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation?
Suzanne
Kedron, 901 Main Street. I'm here with Melissa Adamy from Odyssey Residential. You heard the first part of this case 2 weeks ago at your last council meeting. It was held to correct the notice, and we're here to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have a motion, Ms. Medrano?
Yes, Mayor, I do. I'd like to close the public hearing and approve this item.
2 seconds. Any discussion, Ms. Medrano?
No, sir. This is a POD development. It's right along the green line. I think it's an excellent project.
Thank you. Other questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 87, Council Member for Greg has a conflict and will be stepping out of this chamber, after which I will read the item into the record. Item number 87 is a public hearing regarding a City Plan Commission authorized hearing to determine proper zoning on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district and an MF2A multifamily district in an area generally bounded by Plymouth Road, Atlantic Street, and Hampton Road, with consideration given to and an ordinance granting a conservation district.
Mr. Mayor, within 238 notices, property owners within 200 feet of their request, you received 98-5 in favor and 31-5 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have any motion, Ms. Sasso?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, this is an item that we deferred based on the residents getting together to iron out some issues. And with the holiday in July, with the time off in July, they still did not finish with those issues. So I moved to hold this item until September 28, 2011, with the public hearing left open.
Any discussion? All in favor of that motion say aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Councilmember Briggs may now return to the council chamber. Item number 88 is a public hearing regarding an application for a D1 liquor control overlay and a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of greater than 2,500 square feet on property zoned Subdistrict 1 within Plan Development District Number 366 with a D liquor control overlay at the northwest corner of South Buckner Boulevard and Cordell Drive.
Mr. Mayor, within 32 notices for property owners within 300 feet of their request, we received 13 replies in favor and 1 reply in opposition. Due to denial by the City Plan Commission, it will require the favorable vote of 3/4 City Council approval.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Mr. Mayor, members of the Council, Dallas Cotton, 900 Jackson Street, representing the property owner and operator of this convenience store. This is a very nice store. We worked very hard on this project. Mr. Cotton pointed out that there were 13 people that responded, 12 in favor and 1 in against. We went out and canvassed the neighborhood and had 168 total people in favor. Of those people in the homes, 125 were property owners. So we've really talked to the people that live in the area. It's a very clean store. And with the help of Ms. Raines at the Southeast Dallas Chamber of Commerce and the Southeast Dallas Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Castro, I think we've reached some consensus with some other folks in the neighborhood that have
you. Do we have a motion on the floor? Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Ms. Cochran, thank you for all your hard work. Santos and your entire, Mr. Senior Cochran, thank you, former councilman, and to Castro and to the folks there. This mayor is in my district, and we have been long prepared to deny this. And Dallas can attest to it that they had to roll their sleeves and get out there and deal with the neighborhood. It has been that Shirley Stark, Miss Betty Watkins, and Castro, and the Hispanics, and the Southeast Chamber of Commerce in that neighborhood have come together. And this is what I'm saying, that when the neighborhood comes together, and if the neighborhood is in favor, then, of course, that has and plays a lot with my decision. As it was with the other case, the neighborhood was against it. But as it is in this case, the chambers have come together, and those citizens that were in opposition, and when you talk of Betty Watkins, she's one of our premier planning commissions, and her late husband, Bill Watkins, was on the park board. So we served together. And when I tell you that what they say goes in the Piedmont area out in that neighborhood, it goes. And we were very staunchly opposed to this. Our position has changed. We're going to ask for this to be approved today with their blessing. And we will adhere to that, and I will ask in the fields of the council that certain things can happen with folks working together. And this is an indication of folks working together and wanting to do it. We're going to keep our hands around this particular store and not just give them the opportunity to go and operate as they so would like to or choose, because we still will keep them on notice that if we're dissatisfied with their operation, then when they return, they will not see a favorable position. And we will stand, and I would like to make a motion that in this case before us, that we would move this case forward with approval.
Motion to second. Any other discussion?
Just want to clarify that it's the recommendation approval of staff recommendation, and note for the record that we will have to bring that ordinance back.
All right, so what's your motion, Mr. Fairway?
I would like to, at this time, make a motion that we move this item forward with approval, knowing that they will have to come back, what, in 2 years, back before this council to be able to continue to operate.
So, motion, 2 years, no automatic renewal.
No automatic renewal.
And we'll bring the ordinance back on a future agenda.
Absolutely.
Understood.
Thank you, Mayor.
We all understand what we're doing. Okay. All right. All any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Right. Motion is carried. Barely. I got it.
Your final item for consideration is item number 89, which is solely a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2011-2012 operating capital grant and trust budget. You do have three individuals that signed up to speak. After they speak, we will open the public hearing to the other public attendants. Speaker number one is Ernest Mason. Ernest Mason. Next speaker, Esther Davis.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Ernest.
Ernest Mason. Thank you. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on the podium.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Great. Hey. Corey Mason. Who is Corey Mason? That was my brother, and he was killed when he was 7 years old. He was shot in the head, and he died a violent death. At the time, I was a toddler, and I didn't really get to know him.
But what I did know was the lonely Christmases I spent wishing I had a sibling to play with and open toys with. What I did remember was not having anyone to help me with my homework. Or what I did remember was getting bullied and picked on and wondering how things may have been different if I had an older brother. Now, he died. It was only me and him. And when he died, I thought, you know, God left me here and he took my brother. So I got to make my life count. Because if it doesn't count, it's like my brother died in vain. So when you see me come before the city council and I talk about youth issues, it's because I can't do anything about what happened to him. What I can do is something about what's going on with the youth in the city of Dallas today. And it's not that I just want to make a difference. I was made to make a difference. To some people who maybe aren't as connected spiritually, sometimes that may not make sense, but my name is Ernest Mason. Ernest means serious. Mason means builder. I'm a serious builder. I was born on Martin Luther King's birthday. Out of all the days I could have been born on, I was born on this man's birthday. What did he do? He brought things together. He brought people together. So you know what I was made for, but how can I do something with that? Well, I was at a city council meeting just now, and I heard Mr. Caraway say that certain things can happen when you work together. And when I went to one of his town hall meetings, he said that, you know, we need to really do something with the churches because we have over 200 churches in my district. And Mike Rollins was talking about the schools when he was doing his campaign, and I'm always talking about the nonprofits, and I started to think, you've got all these major organizations that work towards helping youth, but something needs to happen. And in light of Halloween coming up pretty soon, remember you saw this here, you've got the hand bone, you've got the arm bone, you've got the shoulder bone, the collar bone, and guess what? They're all different bones, but they're connected by something. We have the church bone, we have the school bone, we have the nonprofit bone, but what's connecting them? If the city of Dallas had some kind of department that helped coordinate events and coordinate activities for youth to just kind of step in and help join these things together, when a body's not coordinated, it's dysfunctional and it's not efficient. And a lot of the inefficiency that goes on with a lot of different organizations, from nonprofits to school boards to other things, is because there's not a lot of coordination going on. So, you know, while funding is being reviewed, I really suggest and highly recommend that maybe you would just invest in putting together a small team. I heard y'all used to have a youth services department, but it was cut out years ago when they had budget crunches. And maybe now that we have a mayor that's in favor of doing something with the schools and really getting behind the youth, maybe that's something you should review. It doesn't take millions of dollars. You know, I was here and they were talking about the Oak Cliff block people or whatever, and how they showed that you can make great buildings without millions of dollars. Well, we can make great youth without spending millions of dollars. So I just encourage you to invest in our youth. Thank you very much.
Well spoken, Mr. Mason. Thank you. Pastor David.
Esther Davis is the next speaker. Not present. Trina Trish.
Minister Trinity Church, City of Dallas, and as that young man said, the name means something. That's why I say minister, and I'll speak about that later on. Nevertheless, yesterday I had the opportunity to attend a private showing at Neiman Marcus, one of the greatest designers in the world. Lafayette 148 was there with his people, and that was one of the best things that I attended. Of course, I thought it was open to the public, but Neiman Marcus was so gracious, they allowed me to stay. Nevertheless, Mr. Mayor, and I'm speaking about the budget because you have a budget at your house. Many times I've said if the council would operate their government budget like they operate the budget at the house, then maybe we could get something done and people's jobs could be saved, services would be kept, and things could be done. So nevertheless, I just thought I'd bring this to you, Mr. Mayor, to get to our First Lady. Lafayette 148 has a lot of great things, and I'm sure she'll look good in displaying them. Nevertheless, when I speak about the budget, this goes again with I wrote down for agenda items 4, 5, and 18 to be pulled on the consent agenda. I wanted to speak on them. And for the record, let it be.
You're speaking on an item.
Right, on the budget. Let me say, you're right. It's in conjunction with a consent agenda 4, 5, and 18. Let me state for the record, you can't consent to anything until I have a right to petition the government and voice my questions and concerns. That's First Amendment. And then the state cannot make any law that will abridge my right to do that. That's Amendment number 14 in the Constitution. So I do hope that wasn't violated, because in the event it was, then we'll have to take care of that legally. I hope the judge and the two lawyers would advise the council and maybe look over the secretarial procedures to make sure that they follow the Constitution of the United States of America. Again, about this budget right here, order to appropriate monies. Are we looking at that? Is waste being eliminated? Are things being consolidated so that they are efficient, effective, and consumer-friendly? Prioritizing. You're hiring more people, 200 firemen and policemen, and then you're firing city workers. Why not try to consolidate that and do something to keep workers? Savings for a rainy day. When you utilize all grant funds for things, that maybe you might want to save a little bit of it, because you don't know what's going to come in the future. Change the strategy and some of the things, and will this bring increase quickly to the government and to stimulating the economy? That's what I want to say. When you approve a budget, those things might want to be looked into.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was read into the record? On the budget item.
Everyone understands that the senior population is only going to grow,
and we need to be looking forward and considering the needs not only of the Latino population, but the entire elderly population, but that the Latino population is being greatly underserved, and desperately, desperately, the city of Dallas needs to have at least one bilingual caseworker. We'd rather have 10 and 20, but in this next budget, we need you to consider, please, supporting a position for a bilingual caseworker in the Senior Affairs Office. Gracias.
Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. If you can hear me very well, everyone know who I am. I guess hanging around a little too long, because the Senior Affairs asked me to do this apparently yesterday, the Chief General or whatever, and I'm left here to. I didn't go far, but however, first I want to say to Mary Sue.
Can you just be close to the mic and thank
okay.
you?
Okay, okay. First I want to say thank Mary Sue for working with us seniors, and she had worked with me personally a lot, but I appreciate her as well as I do all of you, because I can't thank all of you enough, because if it hadn't been for the enough of you, we would not have made it. And so, even though the best have been said, apparently I'm going to read what Al said. Maintain funding for City of Dallas Senior Services and increase by one bilingual caseworker. Maintain medical transportation for older adults. Maintain present funding for dental health at $100,000. Increase senior employment initiative at Senior Force to $50,000. Designate $100,000 for emergency home repairs for seniors. Recommend senior citizens' homestead exemption increase from $64,000 to $70,000. Recommend creation of an ordinance modeled after HB 216. This ordinance would license and give oversight to boarding homes. So, I'd like to say, appreciate your time for, as they said, putting up with me. So, thank y'all and God bless all of you.
And you, thank you.
Is she going to ask the question or can I just stop?
You can go ahead.
Okay, my name is Wayne Wood, and I hope this is the budget y'all make decisions out of. I don't know what budget is. But there are three things that I think this city should do. I don't really understand how you can divide a truck. I don't understand how the people on the front of the truck in the air conditioning driving it, and the people on the back of the truck with the filth and the garbage are not being compensated. I think that's one truck. And all everybody on that truck needs to work for the City of Dallas. I think the Dallas Public Library should be open on Mondays. Mondays are the most important business day in the world. I know y'all probably cut it down so you wouldn't have to pay these people when they're off on Mondays. But when people don't have access to a library on Monday, that's like missing a whole week, and especially poverty-stricken people. And if we can build $500 million hotels, tear down freeways and build parks, and make that art district more important than housing for people in this city, surely we can have a library open on Monday. I had something else, but I didn't write it down, so maybe I'll throw it in there at the end of it. Thank you. Good afternoon to all of y'all.
Good afternoon.
Any other speakers, sir? Name and address for the record, please.
My name is John Van Busterk. I live at 2450 Wild Oak Drive in Dallas, and I'm a member of the Friends of the Dallas Public Library. I appreciate the fact that the city staff kind of bumped up some of the materials this year. It's a long way from where we were before, and I'd kind of like to discuss that. Matter of fact, I've got some materials here I'd like to provide to the city council and mayor when I finish. The Dallas Morning News had an article the 29th of July, and it appropriately started off by saying that the monies that are going into the North Texas libraries are going down while the visits there are skyrocketing. The Dallas funding for the public libraries, when you consider Houston, Austin, San Antonio, and Fort Worth, we were just behind just behind Houston about 4 years ago. We are on track now to have be below all of those cities for the funding for our public libraries. The library spending per capita of all of those cities, we are the lowest. The per capita spending in Austin is a little more than twice what we spend. And yet the library visits per, the library circulation per capita is the highest in Dallas of any of those cities. So while our usage is going way up, the monies are going way down, and one of the concerns that we have is the last couple of years we've been right on the cusp of losing the accreditation. And we certainly don't want to lose the accreditation of the library system, because we are a world-class city, we have world-class citizens, and we deserve to have a world-class library here. I've also got in this package here how Dallas ranks with other comparably sized cities throughout the United States for local library spending. That includes Seattle, Phoenix, Philadelphia, Tampa, and a total of 12, and we are below them per capita for our spending for our libraries. What I'm asking is this. The police department has a long-range plan that the city sat with them and set up for getting well out in the future, and that's absolutely great. I'd like to have somebody take a look at the library system and a long-range plan for getting us well, because even though we did get a little bump up in the materials budget this year, we're still over $9 million below in operating expenses where we were a couple of years ago. And there are materials right now that if you went online and requested them, you would be number 247 to 347 in line waiting for the materials. So it kind of gives you an idea of the magnitude of where the overall decreasing materials budget has put us. Thank you very much for your attention, and I'd like to provide these materials for the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any
I will say just one comment. We established yesterday an Arts, Culture, and Library Committee. Ms. Margolin is going to be chairing that, and I know she'll be discussing how we move forward in this issue in the future. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on item number 89? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
Hello, my name is Tim Keeney. I work for the Parkdale IC Harris. And Mr. Mayor, you ran on a platform of accountability and transparency, and I believe in your commitment to that. I would like you to look into the allegations of fraud, waste, environmental problems, lack of equipment, arbitrary meeting of qualifications, parts issues, and safety at Parkdale IC Harris. We're number one in accidents, last in accountability. When I tried to bring some of these to the forefront, I had a toolbox of mine tied to a tractor, and I had the unmitigated audacity to report it to a higher up. And since then, I've been retaliated against. I've had false allegations brought against me, administrative suspensions to the tune of $7,732 that the city of Dallas has paid me for not working. Meanwhile, while we don't have any air hoses, any equipment, and are breaking tires down by hand, our manager is renting through the CIP budget some kind of fancy SUV that he runs into and wrecks into another car, and gets 1 point for that. If that had been one of the hard-working people at Parkdale, they would have been suspended and had days taken from them. The discipline is arbitrary. They ask us to charge tires to other districts so that it doesn't reflect on their budget. Environmental spills go unreported and covered up. Meanwhile, $200,000 worth of parts that were ordered for vehicles and equipment that we no longer have were ushered out the back door and sent to the city store to be sold as junk items. I was asked to take a boom truck out when 2 days earlier the boom had fallen off, and the person that advised me to do this got no disciplinary action. As a matter of fact, they were promoted and moved to another section. And in the end, I'm going to say, I heard an old maxim that the truth bats a thousand. But sometimes the truth doesn't get to the plate. Sometimes the truth is sacrificed, and sometimes the truth is thrown out trying to get home. You're the highest paid pitcher on the mound, Mr. Rawlings. I believe in you, and I hope that you will face off the truth and look into these things. My final thing that I want to say, everything that I have told you is true, and I will take a lie detector test on any of this, and if I fail it, I stand here before God and the council and say I will pay for it. I'm not so sure that the other people will do this. And in the end, God bless the city of Dallas, the Dallas Cowboys, Roger Staubach, and congratulations on your 39th birthday, sir.
Thank you very much. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Claire Turner, and I am a resident here in Dallas. I'm here on behalf also of the wonderful seniors here in our city, and we must say first, thank you, thank you, thank you to the city manager for including senior employment in your proposed budget this year. As all of you know, one of the hottest topics our city faces is unemployment, and it still looms large on everyone's minds, but those that are struggling the most in finding employment are your older constituents. The need is great with the economy as it is, and many more adults are desperately trying to find employment just to live from 1 month to the next. So we are asking this year for an increase of $12,000 up to $50,000 to be able to update the services provided to seniors seeking employment and to expand the program. Thank you for your time and for your consideration of seniors.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers? Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
This is, hold on. This is for the budget item. Sir, I think we're going to hold you for a little bit, okay? Okay, this is for item number 89 on the budget.
Yes, Ralph Blackburn of the 12519 Matisse in Miss Margolin District. I just want to thank you, Mayor, for establishing the Arts, Culture, and Libraries Committee. Congratulate Ms. Margolin on being nominated to that position. And anything you can do to further the arts would be greatly appreciated. I know that she is advocating to reduce the 10% cut to the arts, and I hope we can rally some support behind that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on item number 89?
My name is Olivia Holmes, and my address is 1619 Bell Meadow Lane.
She's got a little closer, ma'am.
My name is Olivia Holmes. My address is 1619 Bell Meadow Lane. And I work as a senior citizen every day. I get calls from senior citizens wanting transportation to and from the doctor's office to keep their appointment. So I'm asking y'all to continue to fund that program. And also housing repair. I get calls from seniors who need their home repaired and they're dilapidated and about to fall in. So we need funding for that also. Ask that you continue to do that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on item number 89 on the budget public hearing? No future speakers, no further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Do we have our afternoon? Do we have any afternoon speakers?
No further speakers, the public hearing on the budget is closed. We continue now with your afternoon speaker. Your first speaker will be Robert Ceccarelli, followed by Ozumba Lung. I'm sorry.
Before, as you come down, I'd like to, come on down. I'd like to ask Mr. Atkins to make an announcement.
Colleagues, as you know, we just lost one of our colleagues, former colleagues, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Fred Blair.
Yes,
I did. I verified. He passed away this morning. He also was Deputy Mayor Pro Tem in 1983 to 1985. He also was a state legislator. And so we just had a moment's silence. Fred Blair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. God rest his soul. Please, next.
Thank you. Barbara Cacciarelli.
Mr. Mayor, Robert Checkerow, 6302 Harry Hines Boulevard. Mayor Lawlins, in front of you, the editorial came out 2 days ago. I don't know if you saw it, but it has to do with the suggestion to the superintendent. The second one you see was Michelle Rhee from Washington, D.C. I think you all know that she's involved in a big scandal. And I was very appalled by it, and I went and talked to the reporter who wrote this article. And I said what I had to say, and I don't know what was going on, but I said he lost his mind, I don't know what he's thinking about. I mean, it makes Dallas look very bad, or DISD very bad, but he even suggests this person to be a superintendent. But, he didn't tell about, all the mistakes she's made, just the good things she's had done, and they had a meeting about this, and they're talking about non-traditional superintendents, and this throws everything out of kilter. As far as like the steroids in baseball, the home runs, this is just exactly the same. I mean, it embarrasses the city of Dallas, the DISD, and the whole community. And I would hope that you, like what I did, is to call up the editorial and tell them what you think. I mean, I would be appalled by it if I was on the city council. And it's Dallas Morning News suggesting somebody like this, which just happened in December. So, I mean, I'm just asking maybe, you say your piece, and because reporters, I'm sure you have to have bad things with them, time and time, but this is just out of hand. I mean, way off the chart, unexplainable. But I just want to say to you that I just hope you vent your frustration like I did. The main thing I came for today is from last week. There was a meeting a week from Friday, Homeless Alliance Coalition meeting in the library. It's very important that people be there. Jay Dunn and Mike Fianza were not there. And I just read today, Ms. Davis, you're in housing. I would say that would be a good place to start about the homeless situation, because I'm very appalled that the $16,000 came from outside the budget of the bridge. And that's just another example of what the bridge is doing for the homeless. It's only $16,000, $8.2 million budget, and 3 years of no air conditioning, which is very, like I said, one day at municipal court, you shut it all down, and as I understand it, there's still no air conditioning in the city, just fans with water coming out in the pavilion. So, but I wish that Ms. Hunt, Ms. Davis, the mayor, Mr. Calloway, go to the meeting and please get Fianzo and Jay Dunn there so we can talk about brainstorming what needs to be done to build a temporary housing place for the homeless so they can do things without quitting and going back on the streets and in jail. It's very, very important, and it was a big bust from the planning to now with the bridge and with the homeless. It's obviously the bridge does not care about the homeless at all. I wish you were there because I will be there. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker, Ozumba Lunk. Ozumba Lunk.
My name is Chief and Minister Ozumba Wagalulunk, Chief of the Texas African Afro-American Igbo Tribe. What I would like to say is I'd like for you all to see if y'all can get quick drama grow off my back. It's the third time I've been harassed by DART police. I've been harassed by this city and this county. I've never been to PN, I've never been to juvenile, I've never been to jail. I was charged in 2005 for defending my life. You all tried to send me to jail for 6 months for defending my life against some drug dealers. The same guy that sent my son to the pen to sit on the jury that was got immunity from prosecution turn around and point a gun at me. 3 years after my son was in the penitentiary, I pressed charge against him. That was swept under the cloth, table, so I don't know what happened. You know, that's what you're doing. And I'm not an ignorant Negro. I may look like one. That's what y'all call me. I call myself African American, you know. But anyway, I'm not an ignorant Negro, and I would appreciate it if y'all would treat me like I was white. What I mean is, that way I know I get treated fairly. But I'm a man just like you, a man. God created us all equal. God has no respect for persons. But, this earthquake that happened the other day. If you read the Bible, it said there'll be pestilence in the town, wars and rumors of war. Daughter against mother, son against father. It speaks of all these things happening. Read from Matthew to Revelation. I would like for you to do that. Because how are we going to know when the end of time is coming? Every time something happens, you all want to say nature, or you want to say global warming and all this. You know, I can see Jesus Christ coming back in the cloud now with angels, and everybody, oh, that's global warming. Oh, that's just a crazy man. You know, I guess we won't realize, I guess, until the fire starts burning our real room. And then we kept on, we'd be held, and we go, oh, Lord, that really was you, wasn't it? But anyway, I just want to be respectful. I'm 65 years old, and I've been treated very bad in this city. Very grave miscarriage just having me and my family. And I want to talk to you about that, Merrill, and hopefully we can get together and talk. And if we don't, I know God is going to take care of it, because I believe in God, and I believe what he says is going to help me in Revelation. It's coming. Things are not going to get any better. It's going to appear to get better. Then all hell is going to break loose again. The Bible even speaks to this here. We want to recognize God. God is angry. He's an angry and a jealous God. We don't talk about God until something happens bad, and we talk about God. But God made us for his pleasure. God owned us. We are his children. And we never call his name. We talk about movie star, football players, awesome. My old King James Version say holy and reverent is his name. This new book says something about is it holy and awesome. A football player can't be awesome. Anybody can't carry a name like God but God. But thank you. God bless you. I'm waiting. I need to talk to you, Merle. I need to talk to you.
The next speaker, Frank Ward, is not present. William Hopkins, not present. Otis Fagan.
Good afternoon, Councilman and Mayor. My name is Otis Fagan, and I live at 2247 Scotland Drive, Dallas, Texas. My telephone number is 214-374-1482. I say that, Mayor, because I was expecting a response pertaining to my request for a court-ordered attorney. I had not had a response back from you. But I did review some files and things that I had pertaining to the Supreme Court, a decision that was handed down May 17, 2004, that can be an aid to you in making your decision pertaining to the attorney. And it was pertaining to the Americans with Disability Act that was passed by a large majority in both houses of Congress. And after decades of deliberation and investigation, they saw the need for comprehensive legislation to address discrimination against persons with disabilities. I have a disability as well as all of the other members of the organization I represent. Title II of the Americans with Disability Act provides that no qualified individual with a disability shall, by reason of such disability, be excluded from participating in or be denied the benefit of service, programs, and activities of a public entity or be subject to discrimination by such entity. The question presented to this case is whether Title II exceeds Congress's power under the 14th Amendment, which prohibits any public entity from discriminating against a qualified person with disability in the provision or operation of a public service, program, or activity. The Act defines the term public entity to be and to include state and local governments as well as their agencies, instrumentalities. Persons with disability are qualified if they, with or without reasonable modifications of rules or policy or practice, or the removal of architectural or communication or transportation barriers, or provisions of auxiliary aid and service meet the essential eligibility requirements for the recipient of service or the participation in the program. And you do understand that wrote into the contract or the lawsuit that the city filed on behalf of the people of West Dallas were a provision called Appendix B, which with an attorney we are able to get our medical aid and lifetime medical treatment, which you have denied for 20 years. Now, there are provisions that include the authority both to remedy and to deter violation of the rights guaranteed by the 14th Amendment by prohibiting a somewhat broad swipe of conduct by individuals denying us. I have a copy coming with the full presentation if you would like to read it.
We've got it right here. Thank you for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I expect a response from you anytime soon?
I have talked to our legal folks, and I will do that again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next speaker is Carl McKenzie. Mr. McKenzie will be followed by Trina Trish, Wayne Wooten, Marvin Crenshaw, and then Michael Peoples.
How you doing? I'm Carl McKenzie, and I'm here to implement a law that Dallas County doesn't have. The law is that we in Dallas County do have a law stating family violence and domestic violence, but the problem is that we don't have a law that's on the side of the citizens, which, you know, where a person is being provoked into a crime. And I was in Austin, Texas, and they do have this law. In Dallas, we have a law, you know, family violence. But we don't have a law where a person has been provoked into this crime. Okay, I have a friend by the name of James Roscoe. He met this lady, young lady, over 3 weeks, and evidently got into it some kind of way. This man ended up doing 15 years behind this. I got another friend by the name of Kenneth Taylor. He got him for child abuse. Another man by the name of Benny Keith, he's in a wheelchair. He was provoked on the city bus, and now he's looking at doing time. I was also provoked into crime. Then I got my teeth knocked out and everything in the middle of all these crimes. And it's not like, you know, I can just turn around and go call the police. The person that hit me in my mouth, I'm going to go straight to fight. That's just how it is. Then we have a law that states, federal spoiled child. Okay, everybody is considered a child at one point in time. Then they end up being an adult. But now here you have this child that's adult that another adult has to deal with, and you know, provoking them into crimes. And then here you go, and the police rushing you off to jail. Okay, we got a police officer in Arlington. He was arrested on family violence. Then we have council members. I'm not gonna call a name, that was turned around and had this man, you know, in the same situation. I'm trying to figure out where in Dallas County do the citizens have the right to protect themselves against people provoking them into crimes. And I want to know, if we can't get this done, won't they take federal law for the child out the Bible? And then we take the man is in charge of God's green earth out the Bible, if we're not in charge of anything, because there's only two people on this earth that we can communicate, that's male and female. And if we can't get these things taken out the Bible, I want to know, is there a way that I can be exiled out the country? Because I can't live in Dallas County with people, you know, provoking me. Then I'm getting sent to jail, and now I'm looking at prison time behind, you know, this type of behavior.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Your next speaker, Trina Trish, followed by Gwen Wooten.
Oh,
Okay. Minister Trina Trish, Dallas City, and it's a pleasure to greet you all again. The young man spoke about his name. My name, Trina, means pure in heart. Only the pure in heart, according to Matthew, will see God. I say minister because I'm CEO and founder of Trina Trish Teaching Ministries, and nevertheless, I do a lot to minister. The word minister means meet the needs of people. That's what that word means, and so that's what I do. You have to watch what you call a thing, because what you call a thing will become it. I say the word minister because I want you to know that I am proficient not only in constitutional law, but in spiritual laws. When I come talking about, I want to see what it is do me. I ain't talking about no 40 acres and a mule. I'm talking about my joint heir covenant. Oh, you don't hear me today. Nevertheless, when we speak about the Constitution of America, and again, I have been here since 9 o'clock. I haven't missed a beat. And I never heard the approval of the consent agendas according to the Constitution. I'm given that right to give my grievances before you. The power of a penny, I'm going to do that article in my free newsletter that I distribute. That penny pays the salary of the president. It pays for the White House's temporary shelter, and it pays for all government officials and services. That's the power of a penny. We are a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And if Dallas City don't know it today, they will know it tomorrow. Nevertheless, again, let me say, I would think they know the purpose of a name, because even Dallas City that sent this out, it was called MetroCare, a nonprofit serving children and adults with mental health challenges or special needs. It's formerly known as Dallas County Mental Health Mental Retardation Center. What you did was you changed the name from Dallas County Mental Health Mental Retardation Center to MetroCare. You know the power of what you call a thing. Instead of saying they're mentally ill and all, you say MetroCare. That sounds real good. That sounds real caring. And then again, it still promotes sickness and illness. Oh, you know the power of what you call a thing. Dr. King, Mega Evers, anybody else, can the spirit, my witnesses that are up in heaven, that crowd of witnesses, give me an applause right about now? Because like Rosa Parks, I'm not giving up this seat. No, no, no. My rights will not be violated, and I do expect the council to operate in integrity, to honor the Constitution of the United States, to be fiscally responsible so that we take the right actions to save jobs. People eat, not books. We need culture, and as we celebrate women's rights today, and some people have the nerve to speak about it, no, I will have my rights. I'm a single female black woman born in the USA. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rich.
Your next speaker is Gwen Wooten.
Good afternoon, Mayor, City Council members. My name is Gwen Wooten. I live at 1000 Cleveland, Dallas, Texas. Now, I've been having an experience with street signs. I've been watching street signs. And yesterday, I was walking down the street coming from Commissioner's Court, and I was looking at the red, yellow, green light. And then when it turns green, it's a white man, and it tells you you can walk. It was invented by a black man. But then when I see no pedestrians, I see a black man with a stripe across him. That just does something to me psychologically. I don't understand why you got a white man on walking and a black man on no pedestrian. I need some red left turn signals on Gaston, Ross, Live Oak, and Lane. I'm trying to get some left turn signals on those streets I know for the last 6 years. We have red light cameras. But we don't have no left turn signals from Good Latimer to Abram. On Hall, on Washington, some of the busiest streets in this city, we don't have any. We need left turn signals there. I reported about this white guy and his dog about 2 weeks ago. I talked to Lieutenant King, who was the last police officer I talked to, and he told me that the person who lives in the apartment
does not know who was at his house that morning with that dog. It's a gated community. You don't just walk in and out of no community when it's gated. You got to have some. Somebody got to know who's coming in there. Now, if you got a dog in your bedroom looking out a window where the shade is where the dog can see the window, and I done seen that dog in that bedroom, the police told me they can't make nobody tell them who was in that house with that dog that threatened my life. They don't leave that dog alone. Black folks getting ate up by dogs in this city, and the police need to do something about that. I don't appreciate the police telling me that this man can't tell them who was in his house. And it was two witnesses, me and a white lady, who pointed to that apartment. And if you go by there now, the shade is where the dog can look out the window. But I have not seen the dog nor the man. But I can see police hide behind walls on the West End trying to catch somebody. Jaywalking. Jaywalking is not proud to mind. I don't jaywalk in Dallas because I know Dallas police shoot people when they jaywalk. So when I got across the street yesterday and the police had hid behind the wall to see if I was going to jaywalk, and I just told them I don't jaywalk in Dallas. I've been here 60-something years, and I know the police will shoot you depending on how they feel in Dallas if you jaywalk. That's not all I want to say, but I'm not going to, I ain't going to bother you, and I'll see y'all next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wood.
Okay, your next speaker, Marvin Crenshaw.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. While I was sitting out about earlier getting my notes ready, I was talking about the lawsuits that have been filed against the city of Dallas. And I had written down that under the first lawsuit, Lipson versus Wise, Fred Blair, you know, was one of our lawyers. He was more than just the mayor pro tem and the deputy mayor pro tem. He got out, you know, when we first met him, we didn't expect it from him. But he got out and rolled his sleeves up and got with us. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, we've had a request from Councilmember Carraway to suspend the rules to allow Michael Peoples to speak.
Wait a second. Okay, Ms. Peoples, please come forward.
And then someone
should fight. Do we have a...
Please take your name and address for the record, sir. You may address the mayor.
Michael Wayne Peoples. I live at the bridge at 18...
Cross Counter. Do you mind taking your hat off so we can just see your face? Thank you very much.
I was born and raised here in Dallas, and I worked in Dallas for about 10 years until I turned 40. Then I lost both my legs, one at a time. Well, anyway, that stopped my life, and it caused me to have to live the other side of life. I was a nice citizen of Dallas. I worked hard and I was a builder. As a matter of fact, I helped build this place here. But anyway, I got to live at the bridge and I got to see another side of life. The bridge is too... It's too well staffed. I'm talking about it's more staff there in the areas, homeless people. It's more authority there, unneeded in the areas, homeless people. I'm on dialysis. I got a heart. I just got a new pacemaker and the stribber. Beverly, I sleep in the bridge on the floor. Now, I've been there on the floor since day one. Day one, the very first day of the bridge. I remember seeing you, Mira. You were there the very first day. I've been there ever since. The bridge hasn't done nothing for me. That's why I say it's overstepped. Now, I don't use drugs, I don't drink, I don't do nothing but try to live. I get Social Security, I live on a budget. And now, everything that I have, they tell me that I have to be self-sufficient to live in the grid. And they tell me they can't do nothing for me because I'm too big a health risk, liability risk. Well, I've had a lot of accidents. I had a lot of things happen to me. Now, the staff at the bridge, the security, they threw me out the bridge just the other day, about 2 hours after I had got out of the hospital having heart surgery. And I crashed my hip, and I've been sore. I can't do nothing. I used to get up and get in the wheelchair and get on the mat, on the floor, and the mat, and at the bridge. What I'm here for now is that should be a bed given to people that's in wheelchairs and it's got to change. And I think Dallas, me and other people here in Dallas are even people who are just passing through better than what we did.
I hate to cut you off, but I think I understand what you're saying, and let us talk about it, Mr. Carraway.
And let me just say thank you for coming and to the council. He's been here all day, and he wanted to speak, and that's why I wanted to make sure he had an opportunity.
I was here all day yesterday.
Absolutely. But I think we're going to get somebody. The mayor's going to work, and we're going to work along with getting someone from crisis and dealing with some other scenarios to address your concerns, okay?
Yeah.
So thank you, and we'll talk more.
So what's your name again?
Michael Wayne Peoples.
Michael Peoples, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Peoples. Thank you,
Ms. Davis.
Yes, Mayor, thank you so much. And I need someone, Jerry, in Health and Human Service to work with him. And we will work on this with Ryan and staff to start looking into how we can better work with the shelter in Ms. Medrano's district. And also, we need to find him housing. He does have income. That's a good thing. And so, Ryan, can we look at finding him housing for disabled veterans? And so he does not have to sleep on the floor. And then we need to just look at others who perhaps are disabled as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. And Mr. Peoples, I don't know your story. Everybody's got a story, and there's a lot of details back and forth. Obviously, you've been at the bridge a long time if you've been there since day one. I will say to the city council, until we face the issue of permanent supportive housing in this city, these people will stay at the bridge, and they will be on the streets. This is one of the toughest neighborhood issues we have, and we have to come to terms with it. Okay? Thank you very much, Mr. People.
Thanks.
It's 3:50. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Meeting's adjourned. Thank you.